జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిపూరాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నెతిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిపూరాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌరు ప్రేమనందే ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వా మనసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయతపత్ర నేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమ సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధ గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతడ జయద్రథ జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతి కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మ వరుణీంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్వన్యంది దివ్యై స్తవై వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదై గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద So, Krishna talked about the jivas. About jiva, he spoke 5-6 verses, is it not? How a jiva moves from one body to another, which is the most interesting topic in the Gita, also in the Vedam, in the Upanishads, everywhere. How this transmigration happens. One should sit and think about these things, and then you will realize that so much avidya has been pumped into our head from our education system that we are not able to understand what the rishis are saying. Rishis are saying, again and again they are saying to us, you are not what you are seeing through your eyes. What you are perceiving through your eyes is just your outside covering. Inside is everything. That is why this inward going is so important, inward looking. Because everything is inside, is it not? The subtle body, the intelligence, the mind, the vasanas, prarabdham, svabhavam, prakriti, everything is inside us. And we ignore all that and simply get affected by the external body and think that this body is everything and we all our vyavaharam is based on this body, is it not? So you can understand that when great personalities, when they discuss in a subtle level everything, extremely subtle level. As you saw there, the jiva goes from one body to another. And when he goes from one body to another, he carries with him everything. Practically what he leaves behind is only this gross form, which is not important because that gross form has only a very short period of existence. Whereas the subtle form, that goes with him for several lifetimes, which means it's with him for birth after birth after birth. So that is why that subtle body is so important. And the vasanas, what he has creating every time, it's all being stored up in that, and it goes, and the pranan, and the mind, and vasanas, everything pulled together, sushma shariram, completely pulled together, and it moves into the next phase of existence, whatever that next body is, depending on the vasanas, what he has created. So majority of about us, decisions are made in the subtle body. Our vasanas and our next life, what it should be. So all these decisions are inside, made inside. Antaryami makes a decision based on our subtle body and the vasanas inside. That is how the next destination is going to be. So ignoring, without any knowledge of this, simply thinking that I am this body and keeping this body in a good condition is the goal of life. If we have come to that, just shows the amount of avidya that has gone inside us. The depth of avidya inside us. It's an indication of that. That not realizing the importance of the Antaryami's presence inside and not taking care of that aspect of it. Antaryami, the jiva and the subtle body, the vasana, all these things are most important things. That is why Vedavyas doesn't discuss about the gross body. Vedavyas discuss about the subtle things. What is going to happen, yeah? So, he spoke about jiva and jiva's transmigration first. Krishna spoke about that. And then Krishna spoke about, he's going to talk about the Antaryami now. That is the current verses, what we are talking about. Antaryami Upasana, what is mentioned in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also. This Antaryami Upasana is so important because all other Upasana, what you do, ultimately you have to come to Antaryami. Otherwise it is no use. Deity worship, chanting the holy name, and any other upasana, what? Dhyanam, meditation, everything, ultimately ends up there only, Antaryami. That is what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, in many places, about Antaryami, is it not? So, that's what we were talking yesterday, that in every living entity, if you are able to recognize the presence of Antaryami, then, then your it is worship then, Krishna's worship it is. If you are able to recognize it that way. And so that we talked about that here. And in the Bhagavadam, that was mentioned also by Sridharada Maharshi when he spoke to Yudhishthira. He mentioned there, you can see that ninth verse in the last chapter in the seventh canto. What did he say? Mrigam, Ushtram, Kharam, Arkav, Sari, Srip, Gaha, Makshigaha. Atmana putravat pashyet tairesham andaram kiyat. He is saying there, deer, camel, donkey, monkey, rats, snakes, birds, and flies, all of them, a householder should consider them as their own, his own children. Yeah. And he is saying here that atmana putravat pashyet. Tairesham andaram kiyat. He says, what is the difference between your children and them? There is no difference. They are also your children. That's the way they should be treated. All the other living entities. Yeah. Atmana putravat pashyet tairesham andaram kyet. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to Yudhishthira about this. Yeah. So because it is coming in respect to, he says, what should a household, how should he live? Griheshu avasthido rajan kriya kurvan grihojidam vasudeva arpanam sarshal upasida mahamuni. That ashrama dharmam, that grihasthashrama dharmam, ashramam means only grihasthashramam. Sannyasa ashramam we call like that, but actually sannyasa ashram is not an ashramam. Sannyasa ashramam is you've gone beyond the ashramam actually. So ashrama dharmam one should execute. Grihasthashramam is the most important thing and he should serve the great person. Vasudeva arpanam sarshad upasida mahamuni. That's what we said yesterday. So thinking all of them as your own children and in other words you have to think of them only as your children, nothing else. Right? Why is that? Why is it like that? Because Krishna is present in all of them as Vaishvanara. Unless you study these chapters properly, you won't become spiritual. You will be still living in the mundane level, in the bodily level. These chapter particularly helps you to become free from the bodily level, to come to the platform of the soul, recognizing in every step Krishna's presence in everything, and seeing that spiritual life and soul is more important than the body. So, therefore he is saying there, in Vaishvanara form, Krishna is present in everybody and he is asking for food. Krishna is asking for food in the Vaishvanara form from all jivas, all living entities, right? And there is a system called Samarathana. Samarathana means that this is a system in the Vedic tradition that you invite brahmanas in a group and give them prasadam and offer respects to them in that way. That's called Samarathana. It is the system in the temple. It happens. Right? Here Krishna is saying, as well as Narada Maharshi is saying, that these living entities who comes to us asking for food, and Krishna is present in them as Vaishvanara, and they are walking and they are trying to survive in that body, and feeding them is much more important. Because that makes you realize the importance of the Antaryami Upasana. Antaryami Upasana, right? So, the idea is that if you get annam, food, then you get strength for the body. And if you have strength in the body, then there is some chance of doing some tapasya. So, this whole prakriti, nature, if you look at it, all living entities wants food. Isn't it? They are all looking for annam. In the whole important, the hunting for food is the main thing for everybody. Whether it's birds, animals, beasts, human beings, all of them. Right? Sometimes people ask this question, are you living in the world just for food only? People ask that question, don't they? That, right? Actually it is a fact, right? Basic requirement is food. What all we need is food only. And not our vanity. Vanity is based on the ahankaram, other things what we are talking about, right? So vanity is not important. Annam and jalam, water. These are the two things we need to survive here. And after that, after these two things, Krishna consciousness. That's all. Annam, jalam, then Bhagavad Arathana or Krishna consciousness, in other words, right? This is all required. Then other people don't criticize you or they don't chastise you. For that you need some clothes. That's all. So that other people don't abuse you for not having clothes. So you wear the clothes for that. Otherwise even clothes are not considered to be necessary. Annam, jalam, Krishna consciousness. That's all you need, right? So, and then you need a place where you can protect yourself from the heat and the cold, some place to live, right? So, they are all extra requirement. And nothing else is required than that. As far as the Shugabhra Maharshi is concerned, Srinarda Maharshi is concerned, Krishna is concerned, Ajari Swamiji is concerned, Vedavyasa is concerned. All these great personalities on the Vedic knowledge, they are saying to us like this. Shukha Brahma Sri mentioned that in the second canto, in the beginning itself, is it not? When the caves are there, why can't you sleep there? What do you need the? Why do you go to go and glorify these rich people for your? You remember those famous verses? That it is there very, very explicitly. Beginning itself, he said this to Parikshit, right? Do you have to go and flatter all these rich people to get money from them for your maintenance in this body? And then, can you not use a hand as a pillow? Is the tree stopped giving fruits to you? Are the caves not open anymore so that you could go and take shelter there? And similarly, he mentioned about the clothes also. If something is lying on the street, you can take it and cover yourself. This is spiritual life. Without all this understanding, simply chasing the wealthy people for money, this is not Krishna consciousness. That's not what Shukha Brahma Sri standard, or what Sri Narada Maharshi is saying here, or what Krishna is talking about, right? So, sun rises, we get the rain from that. And then, why? Because of the rain, the trees get the life from that. And aushadhi, vanaspati, all of that. There are so many plants which we don't even know their names properly, right? Ayurvedam says like this, that all these different plants, why Krishna has created them like that, is for this purpose only. That's a blessing from Krishna, because every disease what we get, the medicine is also there in this world for every disease, right? So, just like for hunger, the medicine is food. Hunger is a disease. And for that, the medicine is the food, right? Similarly, all the diseases what we get, the medicine for that is also present in the, available in this world. And because we don't have that sensitivity, even the animals have got, animals have more sensitivity for these things, right? Therefore, we don't have the capacity to know these different aushadhi and different vanaspati, what is available here. Therefore, what we have done is, we have gone and built all these super speciality hospitals everywhere, right? We need all this now. Otherwise, we don't have to complicate this medical science so much, like the way it's being done today. If we have made it too complicated with all our research and inventions and all that. By Krishna's arrangement, whatever medicines we need for maintaining this body, it's present in the nature, right? So, but because we have ignored all this, we moved away from everything, therefore we need all the other grand arrangements, what we are doing now, right? In fact, in all these things, if you look at it, cats and dogs and all that, they are far better than us in looking after their bodies concerned, right? Suppose they are not well, when they don't feel well, right? They go wandering around smelling plants. You can observe. You'll only see that in here. You go to the vet, isn't it? Take the dog to the vet. But in the villages, if you observe these things, that they will go and keep on smelling, and they'll find the plant for that. What is the medicine for them? What for their illness? What they need, right? So, and they will eat that grass or that particular plant, its leaves or stem, whatever it is, and then they'll go and lie down somewhere, and they're back to health again. You can observe that in the cats, observe that in the dogs as well. Both of them do that. So they also want their freedom. They're not to be kept at home and, like the way we think about them, that we are looking after them, we think. They don't need to be looked after by us. They can look after themselves better than us. They are capable of doing that, right? So from annam comes pranam. And annam itself is a medicine, right? So Upanishad says, from pranam comes belam. From belam comes tapasa. From tapasa comes shraddha. From shraddha comes medha. From medha comes manisha. Manisha comes smriti. From smriti comes vijnanam and or alpajnanam. This is Upanishad statement, exactly in this way, in this order. From annam comes, gives you pranam. From annam comes pranam. From pranam comes belam. From belam comes tapasya. From tapasya comes shraddha. From shraddha comes medha. From medha comes manisha. From manisha comes smriti. Smriti comes alpajnanam, knowledge of the sense. So you understand what all that means. Shraddha comes, okay, from annam comes pranam, easy to understand. From pranam comes balam. From balam comes tapasya. Once you have spiritual strength, you can perform penance, tapasya. From tapasya comes shraddha. Shraddha means able to focus on spiritual things, like what Krishna's instructions, that able to, not hearing this and leaving that way, but able to absorb in that. That power to absorption, power of absorption, that is called Shraddha. And from Shraddha comes Medhasa. Medha means able to capture it once you hear that. Medha Shakti, it's called. Medha Shakti. There is a Medha Suktam in the Vedam. You see how powerful the Vedic knowledge is. Medha Suktam. If you, the young children, they are trained to recite this Medha Suktam daily. It's a Vedic mantra, it is, Vedic mantra. If you recite Medha Suktam, you develop this power of Medha Shakti. Medha Shakti, you develop. From Medha comes what comes Manisha. Manisha means Buddhi. Not this problem solving Buddhi. Buddhi to understand Shastram properly. Able to, when Krishna says something, immediately it clicks inside. That is that Manisha. From Manisha comes Smriti. That means what you have captured, it should stay inside. It should not leave as soon as you get out of the door. If it leaves, then what is the use? But it should sink in and becomes our part. That's a Smriti. And if that happens, Atmajnanam, knowledge of the self. So, all these things happens because of eating prasadam. Prasadam's importance, right? And so therefore, taking prasadam is considered to be worship of the Antaryami. Worship of the Antaryami, right? In the olden days, in the kitchen, there kitchen used to be the temple. There is no temple room. Nowadays, they build a temple room separately. And no, that was not the system, because olden times, the kitchen, everything was centered around the kitchen, right? There will be Salagrama Shila or Shivalingam, and puja was performed, everything done in kitchen, right? Kitchen was the center of the house, right? So, now what happened? There is no cooking anymore in the kitchen. Everything is a courier delivery, isn't it? So, kitchen is not important anymore. Bathrooms and toilets have become more important. So therefore, kitchen is not anymore. Kitchen is kept very nicely tight and clean. No cooking happens there, right? And similarly, the nature of Agni also changed. Agni's form has changed, right? Originally, in the homes and nice homes and in the temples, they used the wooden tamarind tree that is mostly used because it's got a very high calorific value, you can call it like that. The power of burning, you know, it is much more higher, right? So, what happens is, when you eat food cooked with the firewood, especially this tamarind and many other things, because the tamarind has got something in there, Agni's presence is much more in tamarind than in the other ones, compared to the jackfruit or the mango trees or all that, right? So, this tree, tamarind tree, its element will be in the fire when you use for cooking that, right? And in that fire, you are putting the pot, and then the pot gets heated from that fire, right? So, what is entering into the water or into the cooking pot is the part of that Agni which comes from this tamarind tree, right? And simple logic, the tree, tamarind tree, its wood is a fire. The fire is present in the wood. So that wood, that fire that comes from the tamarind tree, it carries the qualities of that tamarind tree into the fire, and that fire gets through the pot, it gets into the what you are cooking, whatever vegetables or whatever it is, right? Or you can say whatever tree you are using, wood you are using for that. And now see what's happening now. All the food what we cook, there is petrol in that. Petrol is coming into the food through our cooking. Yeah. And petrol is what we are offering to Krishna. It's petrol that you are offering to Him, right? crude oil, cooking gas, and similarly all its element will come in the food as well, right? So Agni's swabhavam has changed. The nature of the Agni itself has changed by our... I'm just saying that, why are we like this, the way we are? Not able to understand anything what Krishna is saying is because of these things. Because all what we said before, annam, pranam, balam, tapasya, shraddha, medha, manisha, smriti, atmajnanam, knowledge of self, nothing is happening to us. We have become so dull because of these kind of habits what we have created, right? We think that cooking gas is easier, no doubt. Cylinder comes, put it in. Here it is piped gas, so it's no problem at all. Whereas in India also now they have changed to cooking gas so much, and the cylinders are not available, they don't know how to cook with the wood anymore. So they also get into trouble because of that, right? So the nature of the Agni has changed, and it is that element that is converting itself into fire, right? So if you, theoretical knowledge, right? If you lose the theoretical knowledge, then the Shastra will go. We are thinking that everything is modern by cooking in the gas. People are thinking like that, is it not? If you cook in the gas, it's modern. And all the other modern equipments, what they have found out to cook, right? But we must understand, we are foolish. Not knowing the why they have used wood for cooking. And there are many temples still won't use the gas. Still there are temples, they won't use the gas for cooking. Because they know, it is important, that the Agni present in the wood and Agni present in the petrol are different. They are different Agni they are. Agni is divided into 7 different types, right? British gas is one of that. One of the type of Agni. But that is not the real Agni. The Agni, what is used in the yajnam, homam, sacrifices and all that, that is the wood, Agni coming from the wood. And that alone, that is a different Agni than the Agni what you get from the cylinders, right? So this advanced civilization, what we call it, is also a big flop, it is, right? And we will eat this, we will eat petrol, and because even though you are cooking with that, Vaishwanara is capable of eating anything, whatever you are providing, right? If he decides it, then he has the capacity to digest it, to digest what you are offering to Vaishwanara. He has got the capacity to digest it. After all, he is Ishwara, isn't it? So, that is why you will see in the next verse, Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashridaha Pranabana Samayuktam Pajamyannam Chadurvidham. Right. So, while in the ashramam, while they have prasadam together, they will recite this chapter first. Particularly this verse. If they can't recite the whole chapter, at least they will recite this one verse. Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrita Pranabana Samayuktam Pajamyannam Chadurvidham. Right. So, while reciting the Veda Mantram, in this chapter it begins with that. It's not Urdhva Loka, Urdhva Moolam Adho Shakha Ashwattham Prahur Avyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastum Vedasa Vedavit. This is Vedam. This chapter is purely Vedam. Completely Vedam, right? And then they have a thing called Ubasaranam. Ubasaranam means with water in the hand, they will do this 3 times around the food what they are going to eat. And they recite that verse from the 4th chapter, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagnu, Brahmanahudam, Brahmaiva, Tena Gandavyam, Brahmakarma, Samadhina. In that way. So this is all Vaidika Sampradaya, right? So what is the difference from the Semitic religions and the Vedic religion? This is what you have to look at, right? In the Vaidika Sampradaya, there is no puja room or anything. And there is no separately you require a priest and a pujari. That is not Vaidikam. That has come much later because of the temples and it was later development, right? Taking prasadam is puja, is worship, right? If a child is born, it's a puja. A baby is born, it's a puja. When you give a name to him, Namagaranam ceremony, that's a puja, it's a worship, right? And all samskaram like that at home is puja. Everything is puja, right? So, many other things in life is very pragridam, but that is normal things. But Vedam gives importance to all these things. It is such an important thing to understand this, because I will tell you, when you hear this, you are going to get an understanding of it properly, right? What they are saying is that evacuation is an important thing, right? Vedam says to us, Antaryami inside is present at the place where evacuation happens, right? And that is how evacuation happens in a body, because of the presence of Antaryami inside. So even for evacuation to happen properly, you require Antaryami's blessings, right? Food has to be digested, right? And whatever that is happening in our Annamaya Kosham, which is the gross thing, first thing starts with Annamaya Kosham, isn't it? Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. That is how one sheath is inside the another one, right? So, Vaidika Sampradayam is that whatever that is happening, this Annamaya Kosham, whatever that is happening there, that everything should be offered to Krishna. Offered to Krishna, right? And that is the system of Vaidika Sampradayam, right? And that thing, when it has come to Bhagavata Dharmam, this is Vaidika Dharmam. When it comes to Bhagavata Dharmam, it has become continuously chanting the holy name. You see what happens? In the Vaidika Sampradayam, all these different things what we do, it is offered to the Antaryami as a puja. Everything, all karma what you do at home, Namagaranam, Chaulam, Upanayanam, all samskarams what you do, Garbhadhanam, Pumsavanam, Simandam, these are all different samskarams that is done at home. Everything is done as an offering to Krishna. In other words, that becomes the puja. There is no separate puja for the deity or anything at home. But all your life is such a way that all samskarams becomes the puja in the Vaidika Dharmam. When it comes to Bhagavata Dharmam, what happened? Because it has become difficult for many people, Krishna spoke this Bhagavata Dharmam. In Bhagavata Dharmam, if you chant the holy name all the time, if you chant the holy name while doing everything, then that becomes the puja. That is how in the Bhagavata Dharmam it is, right? So, because to remember rigidly, to follow Vaidika Dharmam, you have to be very organized. You have to be very steady in life. If you give your attention to the world outside, going to work somewhere, and making money and going on holidays and all, you can't follow Vaidika Dharmam. If you want to follow Vaidika Dharmam, you have to live in one place. And you should not be involved with the rest of the world too much. You have to rigidly follow you have to know the dates, the times, everything, very strictly to follow, right? So it is a solution to that. Then if all the time if you chant the holy name and do all the samskarams in that, whatever is possible, you are taken care of that, right? There is a lot of history behind all these things. Only if you go and inquire about it, you will understand that. Yeah. Kururemma, she had the problem what women have in a particular during the cycles. She had to stay away from the temple, right? So. When she had a difficult situation like that, one day Vilumangalam came to see her. When Vilumangalam came to see her, she was chanting the holy name. There is a discussion between Kuruvanamma and Vilumangalam about this, right? So, Vilumangalam asked Kuruvanamma, is it okay to chant the holy name when you are having an impure state in the body, is in impure conditions? Is it okay to chant the holy name? He said. Kuruvanamma said, suppose if I die now, at this moment, what will happen to me? I will die without chanting the holy name, is it not? So, chanting the holy name is concerned, there is no restrictions. Anywhere, anytime, in any situation, one can chant the holy name, right? So this pure, impure and all that, Or in the Vedam it will call it as Vidhi Nishedham. Such things, knowing that these things can become in our life a difficulty because of the way we are living today in that way, right? But remembering Krishna, it's not a block. Nothing is a block, right? So what they have done is, this is very important, you must know this, because what the way rishis have done is, in our material life, they brought all the rules and regulations in material life. Yeah? And they gave us full freedom in the spiritual side. This is Rishi's approach. What they are saying is, in material life in this world, family life, whatever it is, they brought all the restrictions possible. And in the spiritual life, they gave us a lot of freedom. Different devadas, upasana, and not only that, full freedom, and that is Sanatana Dharma. That is Sanatana Dharma. In our material life, they tied us down with rules and regulations heavily, in the material life. In the spiritual life, they gave us a lot of freedom, and that is full freedom, and that is Sanatana Dharma. In the Semitic religion, they brought all the restrictions on the spiritual side and gave full freedom on the material life. See the difference? If you think about it, you will understand this and you observe the society. This is Rishi's approach. Rishis are saying to us that you make your material life under control. Spiritual side, they have given us a lot of freedom. You can chant the holy name, you can recite the stotrams, you can read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, all this is upasana. You can eat the prasadam, you can worship the deity, you can go on pilgrimage. The variety of opportunities in spiritual life is unlimited. You can have satsangam, you can go and meet people who are advanced, you can have kirtan together. Various kinds of activities given to us very freely by the rishis. They are saying, in spiritual side of life, total freedom. In material life, tight control. That is Sanatana Dharma. Whereas, Semitic religions, what they are saying is, in spiritual side, tight control. We don't have a restriction that you should only go on a Friday or a Sunday. No, we have every day, every time, you have got the freedom to do what you want. Worshipping is possible. Right? So, that is the big difference between them, Semitic religions, and the Rishi's process. Rishis gave you total freedom on the spiritual side. Whichever day convenient for you, you take 24 hours, 7, 365, you can do spiritual life. No restrictions on that. They don't say that you should only go on this particular day to the temple or to the church or things like that. No such thing. Yeah. So this thing, total freedom in spiritual side and total restrictions on the material life, right? And in Adhyatma means spiritual life, right? You can worship Krishna. If you are very fond of Shiva, you can worship him. If you are fond of Devi, Sri Parvati, you can worship her. You can worship whomever you want. The form, you can worship. They are all the same one power, Brahma Chaitanyam, present inside in the form of Antaryami. The form what you are worshipping is nothing but a representation of the Antaryami inside, isn't it? If you understand Bhagavad Gita, that's what it comes out. Same Antaryami inside, you are worshipping in all these different forms. So, chanting the holy name, then similarly pranayama, all other things along with that, right? And there is no rules, Sunday or Friday and all things like that, no such rules, right? Because they have given us this freedom in Adhyatma. This difference we must remember, because when you see, observe other people and their life, you can notice this, how the difference comes, right? Laukiyam means our material life, all the rules, right? And if you take notice of the Varnashrama Dharmam, if you read those chapters, what Srinatha Maharshi spoke to Yudhishthira and what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, you will see there that these are the way the Varnashrama Dharmam is set up also. Yeah. Previously, you know, this caste system, it has caused a lot of problems, is it not? Right? has the caste system gone? It hasn't gone. It will still be there, right? So casting, caste system, it is difficult to wipe it off like that, right? They are saying that, oh, everybody has got the freedom to do what they want to do, right? Krishna, Vedam says this, that as far as your selfish interest is concerned, that means your spiritual interests are concerned, right? They have put some bridges there. Because once you come to spiritual life, adhyatmam, right? One requires food, annam, then he requires some money, and then he requires some guidance, then the holy name, shastram, and topics related to Krishna consciousness, adhyalpam. In those things, there is no jadi, varnam, ashramam. Those things are not there. In those things, right? So therefore, there is no rules in those areas as far as spiritual life is concerned, right? Rules are required. When do you need the rules? In order to put a boundary for your selfishness. That's when you put the rules in, right? So, selfishness, they have tied it down like this. That once you come to spiritual path, then as far as the food is concerned, everybody needs, and a certain amount of money to live, and then proper spiritual advice, how to engage in spiritual activity, chanting the holy name, shastram, and all other topics related to spiritual practices. There you require guidance and help. Yeah. And then what did they do? In the field of spiritual knowledge, right? Spiritual knowledge, rishis have said no restrictions. Anyone who can grasp spiritual knowledge, he is allowed. You will see, if you look back into the history of the great devotees, they came from all sorts of background, didn't they? Nandanar, for example. And similarly, the saints in Maharashtra. From different categories, people have come. And nobody said anything to them. Why? Because on spiritual knowledge is concerned, there is no restrictions to anyone. Right? And similarly, one who is hungry, he should be given food. And that is yajnam. In the olden days, if you were hungry, you had the privilege or freedom to walk into any house and ask for food, and they would have given you food. Now the dog will bark. You tied the dog outside, so nobody comes inside. This is how we are now. That's how it has changed, right? So, this is called Vaishvanara Vidya. Vaishvanara Vidya means looking after all living entities by giving them everything what they need for their survival in this world. You don't have to take the dog to the vet and get him operated and treating. That's all not in your area. That they know how to look after themselves. All they are asking for is some food, cats or dogs or whatever it is. And giving that is a grihasthashrama duty, right? So, so Vaishvanara Vidya is that. Pleasing all living entities by giving them food for their sustenance, right? And then Krishna is saying there, in the so aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashridaha pranavana samayukta pajamyanam chaturvidam. Ajari Swami says here that in the name of Vaishvanara, it's me who go into the stomach of all living entities and digest the food. Upanishad says that, right? And so pranan in the pranis, in the living entities, along with apanan, they digest this food, bhojyam, bhakshyam, poshyam, lohyam, the four kinds of food, and it digests the food in that way. Bhokta vaishvanara agni, bhojyam annam somaha, tad edad ubhayam agni shomau sarvam, idi pashyadaha, അന്ന ദോഷലേപോ ന ഭവതി. ഭക്ഷണം ഓർ ഫുഡ് ഈസ് കൺസിഡേർഡ് ടു ബി സോമം, ആൻഡ് വൺ ഹു ഈസ് ഈറ്റിംഗ് ഈസ് വൈശ്വാനര. വട്ട് ഡസ് ദറ്റ് മീൻ? ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എ യജ്ഞം ഹാപ്പനിങ് ഇൻസൈഡ്. സോമം ഈസ് ദ വൺ ദാറ്റ് സോമലത ഓഫേർഡ് ഇൻ ദി യജ്ഞം, ആൻഡ് വൈശ്വാനര ഈസ് ദ വൺ ഹു ഈസ് കൺസ്യൂമിംഗ് ദാറ്റ്. So one who is conscious of all these things, he says that one who can see the food in that way, he won't be affected by the impurities in the food even. If there is some impurities, it won't affect him. Right? So having said that, next verse, very important. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. This is all about Antaryami. We discussed the jiva and its transmigration, how it moves from one body to another. Now it's about Antaryami talking about. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. Mattas pradar jnanam abohanam cha. Vedeshcha sarveir. Aham eva vedyo. Vedandakrit veda videva chaham. One who is present in everyone's hrit, heart, from him comes knowledge, forgetfulness, memory and all that. Right? And he says there, Vedeshcha sarveir aham eva vedyam. I am the person to be known through Vedam, and I am the one who created Vedantam, and I am the one who knows Vedam. Krishna is saying that. Again, this aham, you should not get confused with the person Krishna. That is not it is intended to be. It is intended to be that awareness, bodham, in other words, Brahman. So here you can see the Bhashyam. He says there, I am the soul of everyone, means Antaryami, and I am present inside as Antaryami, and in their buddhi also, and all the memory power, and the knowledge, and forgetfulness, everything is coming from Antaryami, right? So what that means is, if you are doing pious activities, pious things, beneficial for others rather than for selfish purposes, right? Accordingly, Antaryami will give the knowledge to that person. Accordingly, right? And he will also give capacity to remember things which are important in spiritual life. Why do we forget things easily? We hear so many things from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, but nothing is staying there. It's all forgotten, came and gone. That's because that the karma was not right. Karma has not been purified. So he's saying here that more we become sinful, activity. Sinful means not the four regulative principles only. Anything you do for selfish reasons is sinful. Anything. What you do for selfish interest is sinful. Anything what you do for others is purification. Is purification. Right? So Krishna is saying here that forgetfulness and ignorance, all these things are coming from me only, from Antaryami only. So Antaryami decides these things. According to your qualifications, he will decide how much you should remember and how much you should forget and how much knowledge should come in. All these decisions are made by the Antaryami inside. Vedeshcha sarveir ahameva vedyo. And he says, Vedeja Sarvai Ahameva Paramatma Vedyo Vedidavya Vedandakrit Vedandartha Sampradayakrit Vedavit Vedarthavit. I am the one to be known through all the Vedams. I am the Paramatma. And this system of Vedartham, it is me who have arranged it that way. And the one who knows about the Vedam, it's me. Right? ഭഗവത ഈശ്വരസ്യ നാരായണാഖ്യസ്യ വിഭൂതി സംക്ഷേപം മുക്തോ വിശിഷ്ട ഉപാധികൃതം തദാദിത്യഗതം തേജഹ ഇത്യാദിന. സോ നാരായണ, ഹോം വി അഡ്രസ്സസ് നാരായണ, ഹീസ് ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഉപാധി ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ദി ഉപാധി മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ബിഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ആദിത്യാനം ഫ്രം ആദിത്യ ഓൺവേർഡ്സ് ദാറ്റ് തേജസ് ഹൗ ഇറ്റ് കംസ് ടു എവറിബഡി. In the four verses he has spoken that from 15-12 onwards, right? So he is saying here that this Ishwara's temporary and permanent upadhis, they have been spoken separately and going to talk about it in the next few verses about that. So, prior to that, Krishna says, I am present in everyone as Antaryami, first thing, right? And in the form of knowledge, forgetfulness and memory, that's me, Krishna says, right? That power is me, right? And you will see the same thing in the Devi Mahalpim also. Same way, Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Smriti Rubena Samstida Namastase 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 Namo Nama Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Shraddha Rubena Samstida Namastase 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 Namo Nama. Similarly, Kshudha Rubena Samstida Shakti Rubena Samstida Nidra Rubena Samstida Buddhi Rubena Samstida Bhranti Rubena Samstida. Everything, it's me. In the Devi Bhagavatam, Devi Mahatmyam, it says like that. So here Krishna is saying it is me, there Devi is saying it's me. So they are one actually, but two different forms we are taking it. Devi Mahatmyam, it is Devi form, and here it is Krishna's form in that way, right? So our upadhi, body means body, mind, intelligence, all these things, right? Is this its field? Whose field? Prakriti's field. Prakriti means Devi. It is her field, is it not? She is the one who is in charge of all the upadhis. She gave us all the other things, mind, intelligence, buddhi, senses. Everything has come from her, like Krishna said in the earlier, right? How does that, and just like, when it comes, night time comes, sleep comes. Who arranged all these things? That night time comes, sleep should come at that time. Everybody wants to go to bed and have a good sleep, right? Similarly, at different times, hunger comes, thirst comes. What control do we have on that? Absolutely nothing. It's not. Even when you are hearing Bhagavatam very carefully, if Devi blesses you, get a good sleep. Immediately you fall into sleep because she decided from inside to control you through the sleep and you're gone. Whether Bhagavatam or what, no matter what it is, people fall asleep, right? Straight away. So that shows, what does that show? We have no control over it. Even if you try very hard to stay awake, it will not work. Ultimately, if you are, if Antaryami decides that you have to sleep, you have to sleep. You have no choice there, right? So, in the same way, sometimes you go crazy when something happens in life. Bhranti comes, right? And similarly, memory comes and forgetfulness comes. All these things are that power. Prakriti is doing that, right? So, Ishvara's Shakti, that Chit Shakti, that is what is, that Chit Shakti is the one which from which comes the mind and all other forces. We call it as the biological forces, right? And also Jata Shakti. In the Jata Shakti, in the physical force, it manifests. That means the same Chit Shakti inside, this is where Lalidasa Sarama comes in. There it says, Chit Shakti Chedana Rupam, Jata Shakti Jadalpiga. So, Parvati is able to take these two forms. In the form of Chit Shakti Chedana Rupam, consciousness wise. And that is where all these things happen. Then Jata Shakti Jadatmiya. Jata Shakti Jadatmiya means Jata Shakti, what we are getting. That means the physical force. For example, the Chit Shakti comes in us in the form of knowledge, Smriti, Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. They are all the Chit Shakti, right? Because only when the Jiva is there, these things are there. Only when the Jiva is there, right? So it is Jiva's manifestation, all these things, which one, the Chit Shakti, in the form of knowledge, forgetfulness and memory, right? And the root cause of all that is Antaryami. Antaryami is the root cause, right? So when you get knowledge and if it is affecting you, that means Antaryami is pleased with you. When Antaryami is pleased, the knowledge will start taking effect on us, right? Yeah. So all the knowledge, its root is Antaryami, right? And in the form of avaranam, covering potency, right? It covers us. Antaryami is capable of doing that. And when Antaryami removes that avaranam, covering, at that time, Antaryami only has to reveal to us his identity. Otherwise, we won't know it. By our effort alone, it won't happen, right? So, therefore, you have to take the shelter of Antaryami, and that is a Vaidika Sampradaya. Vaidika Sampradayam is Antaryami Upasana. You cannot change that. Vaidika Sampradayam is Antaryami Upasana. When we say Vaidika Sampradayam, it goes back to a long, long time behind, right? Not a new thing. It is the oldest tradition, Antaryami Upasana. And then, Vedeshya Sarver Ahameva Vedyo Vedandakrit Veda Videva Chaham, he says. Through Vedam, you have to know this Antaryami. Vedandakrit means, in order to know the Atma, Upanishad Shastram was revealed to this world through the Rishis. The science of Upanishads, Upanishad science were revealed to this world through the Rishis for the purpose of knowing Atma, Vedandakrit, right? And that was also done by Antaryami. So you can see in this world, the scientists have invented many, many things, right? You can see electricity and so many other tools, right? And if you look back into history now, in the last 100 to 200 years, a lot of scientific development happened, scientific knowledge, is it not? Like we have, it came one after the other, very fast. Telephone, radio started with, and then the television, and telephones, and then now mobile phones. In the meanwhile, computer came, and then we got all the other things around that, right? So, if you start thinking about it like this, right? Things what you have never happened before, it happened in the last 100, 150 years time, right? Are you thinking that what we didn't have for 100,000 years, suddenly it happened now? This is how people are thinking about it. They are thinking for 100,000 years we didn't have all these things. 100,000 years you take about it. Talking about 1/4 cycles of Yugam. They didn't have any of these things. Are we thinking that in this last 150 years we became so good that all these things we were able to develop, right? And they say that if you ask the people who have found them out, who have invented them, they will tell you, we also don't know how it happened. It's not that they were looking for it and they got it. It just happened in the way it happened, right? They're also silent about it because in silence, that is when this knowledge and memory and everything becomes much more powerful, right? Discovery happens, right? So what happened was that sometimes Antaryami from inside, he removes the cover a little bit, and in that process you get some success in science. And we start jumping up and down, thinking that I have done it. But actually control is from inside. Antaryami is controlling everything. He decided for the last 150 years to give you something in the form of these kind of things, what we have got now, right? So, when we got that, immediately we recognized something and we started talking to the whole world that many of those people, for example, who have invented these things, or whom we say who have invented, like Edison for the electric bulb, or Einstein, or Newton, they didn't even go to school or college even, very much. They may have gone to some schools, but not to the extent of education, what is the doctorate and post-graduation and all these things. They didn't have any of those things, right? But it is through them all this invention happened. Yeah? It is through them all the invention happened. That is what it's saying. Yadevi sarvabhudesho medharubena samstida. Some things were revealed through them. That's all it is. Like Upanishads were revealed through the rishis, this technology side of it, a few things, Antaryami has revealed through these scientists. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. We think that this is everything. This the inventions what we have. Yeah? Just like the highest knowledge of self-realization, how Antaryami revealed through the rishis to this world in the form of Upanishads, in the same way, Antaryami sometimes give you something like this through somebody whom you don't even know at all. Through them it comes out like this. They also don't know how it happened, the people who have invented them. It came out through them. That's all it is, right? So they have revealed, Krishna Antaryami has revealed something through them. And when we get it, we start thinking that we have done so much, how great we are. So think about this. 100,000 years, we didn't have any of these things. Suddenly in the last 150 years, we have got a little bit of few things like this, few toys, like the computer, mobile phone, television, telephone, radio, and Facebook, Google, and YouTube, all these, Instagram. So we are thinking that, so look at us, how far we have advanced. This is the Maya. This is Maya. Not realizing the history behind the whole thing, right? So, basically, this science, modern science is Vaidika Karmakandam it is, right? Suppose you have lost all this knowledge now, what we have got now. Suppose you have lost it, right? And in the same way, what will happen? If you lose that vidya, the knowledge, right? Of the technology, if you lose that, right, you may not know, again you will have to do, you may not do anything about it because you have no knowledge how to get it back again. Suppose you have lost it. Now you have got it, suppose it, by some reason, due to war or due to earthquake, things like that, we can lose all the knowledge also in the same way, right? So, in Karmakandam, all these things are there, right? Like medical science, physical science, all these things are Karmakandam, it is there. In Karmakandam of the Vedam, it is there. But Adhyalpa Vidya, spiritual knowledge, is kept separate from that. Yeah. therefore, the rishis, their view is like this, right? The way they present it to us is that all these things, what has come through us, it's not our invention. Veda, talking about Veda, right? Everything that has come through us is not our invention, which scientists don't do. Rishis will always, you see, Antaryami decides everything inside, right? Antaryami decides whether it is science or technology or Upanishads, whatever it is. It's Antaryami's decision that comes through some people. Through the rishis, Upanishads came as spiritual knowledge. And through scientists, it came in the form of technology and science and things like that. Yeah. So, rishi says to us that we didn't invent this, any of these things. Mandra drashtaraha nadu kartaraha. We are not the people responsible for this, right? Mantram. We saw this mantram. We saw the mantram, they say. Drashta, that's a word used. Drashta means seeing. They saw the mantram and we didn't create anything and through us something was revealed like this to the world. Vedam says like that, right? So, rishis were created by Krishna. Krishna has created the rishis also. And through them, in order to sustain this world, maintain this world, Krishna revealed some shastram behind it to us, and that is Veda. That is Veda. Similarly, after many years, in the last 200 years or so, we don't know whether it is good or bad, Krishna also revealed to us atom bomb, nuclear bombs, everything revealed through somebody. Again, is it not? Oppenheimer, Nobel and all that. We must always remember, no knowledge we can create. Knowledge has to come from Antaryami, whether it's material or spiritual. Whether it is demonic knowledge or spiritual knowledge. Any knowledge has to, the source is Antaryami. Through whom it gets revealed into the world, that's all it is. Through Rishis, Upanishads knowledge came. Through scientists came atom bomb, nuclear bomb, missiles, laser beam, all kinds of things to destroy things. It came through them. Antaryami revealed that knowledge to them. Drones also. Now it is all drones, isn't it? So, they were doing some research, but this knowledge came out through them in the form of all these things, right? So this is a thing to understand, that Antaryami is the source of everything. From Antaryami comes all the knowledge to the world. From Antaryami, source is Antaryami. If Antaryami don't reveal it, scientists won't have it, rishis won't have it either. That's the way it is. You may can say anything you like about it, argue against it, I did this, I did that. Ahankaram can talk anything nonsense. But Antaryami's position is so strong that Vedam says Antaryami Upasana. Antaryami is everything inside. Yeah. So just like Ayurvedam, if you take Ayurvedam, lot of medicines in Ayurvedam, how did they find it out? Different plants for different treatment. There's so many different plants for different purposes. They use that for it, right? And they know this plant is a medicine for this disease, right? These scientific inventions are also like that, right? So, Krishna is saying here, Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha, says there, is it not? Right? What he is saying is, I am inside of everybody and I am doing that. That's what he is saying in that verse. Sarvasya Chaham Hriti Sannivishto Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. Vedeshcha sarver ahameva vedyo vedandakrit veda videva chaham. Right? So, Krishna says, I sit inside them and I tell them, do this, do that. Yeah? And use different things for different purposes. All laugike vidya, all the knowledge of the, in the world outside is like that. Ultimately, Krishna is saying, Vedesha sarve ahameva vedyam. Through Vedam, I am to be known. In other words, through Upanishads, it is me who has to be known, right? And I am inside Vedam, and after saying all these things, he says, for a jiva, require shanti in this world to live in spiritual path, right? So therefore, there are so many plants created for that purpose, for certain diseases. If you ask a question, why that particular plant is a remedy for this particular disease, there is no answer. There is no answer to that, right? And like, if you have a lot of mucus, tulsi leaves helps to destroy the mucus inside, right? So, in this way, every disease, correspondingly, there is a medicine also in this world. In the same way, for the disease called a material existence, samsaram, there is a medicine, that is Upanishads. Shastram. Upanishad Shastram, right? So, when there is hunger, there is food. Similarly, for the disease called samsaram, material existence, Vedantakrit, Krishna is saying, that you want knowledge, you want the knowledge of the self, then he gave us Vedantam for that. You see, Krishna has given everything. All the plants and trees for different diseases for the body. Similarly, there is another big disease what we have got is this material existence, samsaram. The disease for samsaram, the medicine for that is Vedantam. And that Vedantam also, Krishna is saying, I have given through the rishis, Upanishad's knowledge. So, we have to see things in this way only, no other way, the way Krishna has spoken. Everything comes from Antaryami. whether it comes through Einstein, whether it comes through Newton, or whether it comes to Nobel or Oppenheimer or whoever it may be, whether it is good or bad, I don't know. You have to judge yourself what they have created, everything is good or bad. But it has all come from Antaryami. Antaryami allowed them to have the knowledge and they gave it to this world. In the same way, our main disease is this samsara material existence. The medicine for that is the knowledge in the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutra, Vedantam, and that's also Krishna has given through the Rishis to us, right? So, through Vedam and Vedantam, what is to be known? Krishna says, Aham eva Vedyo, I am to be known. In other words, that Vedanta Shastram, its root is to realizing the self. Aham, aham, when we say, what does it mean? Self-realization, is it not? That's what it means. Aham, aham, when we keep saying that, what does it mean? It means realizing who we are. Self-realization, right? For that purpose, Vedanta Shastram was given to this world. Right? So, there is nothing unnatural beyond nature. Everything is within nature and Vedantam is also within nature, but you can use it to go beyond the nature. You can use it. It is also within the nature. The only good thing is, this Vedantam, you can use it to go beyond the nature. Beyond the nature. So, ultimately, everything is within the Prakriti only. Even our spiritual sadhana, upasana, everything is inside the Prakriti happening there, right? But one thing is that this Vedanta Shastram, what it will do, that it will get you out of the Prakriti. That is the difference. It will get you out of the Prakriti. All other things will keep you inside the Prakriti. Which one? Nuclear bomb, atom bomb, missiles, drones, and all the other things, whatever we have got. You see, you've got to be a lot more subtle to understand what this is saying. Krishna is saying there, right? If we look at it, Bhagavad Gita, from this angle, whatever Krishna is saying there is perfect. There will be no doubts about that. Krishna is saying to us that all knowledge comes from me, no matter what it is. All knowledge comes from me, Krishna says, Antaryami. And Antaryami now and then will reveal the knowledge to this world through different channels. Through the Rishis, Antaryami gave the knowledge of the Upanishads. Through the modern scientists and all, Antaryami revealed a lot of technology things through them. But the problem is that all the knowledge that has been revealed through everybody else except the Rishis will keep you inside the Prakriti. The only knowledge if you want to get out of Prakriti is the knowledge that has been revealed through the Rishis. And that is what Upanishads are, right? It will take you out of the Prakriti and everything else is within Prakriti. Prakriti means what? Maya. Prakriti means Maya, right? So Krishna's, that Maya power, power of Maya, right? And Upadhi also, Upadhi Vishishtam, that Parameshwar, Ishwara. Ishwara is the Vidya Maya, isn't it? Other one is Avidya Maya. Brahmam, whatever you may call it, it is the same Chaitanyam in that way. And that Ishwara, in our heart, as knowledge, forgetfulness and memory, when he says like that, what it means, that he is the source of everything, Antaryami. So Antaryami, Upasana is so important in the Vedam, that all importance is given to Antaryami. Antaryami, if you can touch Antaryami, you are free then. That's the end of it. There's nothing more after that. But before getting into Antaryami, we have to understand Jiva itself. We are even below the Jiva level. Even Jiva we have not understood. That's why Krishna explained about Jiva, transmigration of the soul and everything. Why did he say all that? Because before you get to Antaryami, you have to get through all the other things. Understand the subtle body, transmigration of the soul, how the Jiva moves from one body to another. This is such an important science that is. And if you understand that properly, and if you keep thinking about it, it will make a lot more sense than what, because this is a no-go area for the science, isn't it? This is a no-go area. They don't go inside and they don't go do any research there. Rishis have got it. So they have told us that go inward, see what is happening inside, and if you get closer to that, you will start seeing the truth in a different way. At the moment, completely under the grip of this gross body, we are so absorbed in the world outside and unable to turn the attention inwards. This is our difficulty now. So grip of this body on us is so strong, Maharshi calls it a scorpionic grip of the vacant state, he says. Scorpionic grip. You know how the scorpions are. When they bite, their fangs will go so deep inside, it's very difficult to pull it out. And in such a way, it is holding a grip on us, this vacant state, and this body, and the world outside. And from that, to turn this whole attention inwards is a very difficult thing. But Krishna is saying there that that is the way that the rishis are saying. When it was revealed through them, they were called as drashtava. Drashtava means they are not saying that we have revealed it. They are saying we have seen them coming through us. They themselves are saying this. Or Upanishad Mandram, they are saying we have seen it coming through us. They also didn't know where it came from. That's how it came through them. The way it was revealed through them, right? So here Krishna is saying that whatever you may call it, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, whichever way you call it, it is this Antaryami that is being talked about, right? And Krishna says that knowledge, forgetfulness, memory, everything is me. And it is the same Antaryami comes as different sense objects also, right? And it also comes in different form of blessings to us, right? And if you openly look at the world, there is only blessing here. Antaryami is blessings, right? But we don't have the eyes to see that. Antaryami's blessings is all these things, right? But if you feel that Antaryami's hands in everything, you will feel so much gratitude to Antaryami inside, right? And then you will feel happy. Rishi says that when it rains, you have to feel happy. And similarly, when you eat food, you have to feel happy. And similarly, once it so happened, a Brahmana, he had a tremendous hunger. You know how they don't, I'm talking about the olden days, not now. Now things have changed a lot. But if you go back to history and look at their life, and Krishna also has recognized that, in the Bhagavatam you will see that. Brahmanasihi dehoyam kshudra kamaya neshyate, it says, Ekadasha Skandam. Yeah. Their body is different in the sense, looking at it will look similar to our body. But in that body, Krishna has put more satugunam into it. The result of that is, naturally they have they don't want many things in this world. Normally I'm talking about good qualified brahmanas, they don't want many things from this world. They take very little from this world for their living here, right? So one day it so happened, one brahmana had a lot of hunger, right? So, and then he walked around somewhere looking for food. So somebody gave him a nice feast and he ate it very well. And you know what he did after that? He gave all his house where he was living, he has written it off and given it to him for having a meal like that. That is how they are. Yeah? Because he felt so happy inside that he had a good meal. He was so satisfied. He gave his whole house where he was living to that person. Right? So that much happiness inside. Yeah? Similarly, you can see within ourselves how it happens. If you get a very good sleep, how happy you feel. Isn't it? How happy you feel. You look at the children, small babies, when they wake up, you look at them, that freshness in the face. When we wake up, look at our face. You can't even look at ourselves in the mirror. It looks so awful because the sleep was so much with the dreams and all kinds of disturbances in the mind. When you wake up, you look awful. We all look awful, isn't it? But children, we don't have much of a Chitavarti, when they wake up, you look at their face, it's so beautiful they look. Small babies, don't they? They look so beautiful. And even small children, when they come out of the bed, they look so pleasing to look at them. That freshness in their face. Yeah. So that is also blessing. Krishna's blessing, that is anugraham. Right? So, for example, if I want to sleep, if I can't get sleep, then what do I do? The option is I can take some tranquilizers or some things like that. Right? But that is not considered to be sleep. Right? That's what says, Yadevi sarvabhuteshu nidra rubena samsthita. That Nidra Devi's blessing is required to get a good sleep. Right? So, they are all, like we mentioned about Nidra, Kshudha, and Vipassa, and similarly Krodham, they are all Devadas. They all have their Devadas who controls these things in our body, right? So, Jiva, who is struggling in this world a lot, right? This healing power is coming from from her in these different forms. That healing power, when you are getting angry, when you are suffering in this world in different ways, after some time everything goes away. Is it not? Time, we say time cures everything. Time doesn't cure. Actually, who cures is these Devadas, they give you a relief from that. And that's when you become free from that. Right? So, just like that healing action, yeah? And when you go to sleep, everything becomes peaceful. And death is also, Krishna is saying, is like that. It's a long sleep, that's all. You're not losing anything. All you're leaving behind is this gross body. By then, this body has become useless, so you just throw it away, but you're carrying with you everything else. Subtle body is going with you. Mind, intelligence, all the senses are coming with you. Pranan is coming with you. All vasanas, what you have created in several lifetimes, without losing one of them, you will take it with you. Everything will go with you. And then after going back, and when the next body is decided, you come back. Again, as we discussed yesterday, Kapila Maharshi said in the Bhagavadam, Karmana Devanetrena Jandur Dehobhavataye, he says, how a Jandu develops around a particular Jiva. That's why he's called a Jandu. How a Jandu develops around a Jiva. Kalalam Egaratrena Panjaratrena Buddhudam. All those verses, you can read that in the third canto. Very nicely spoken. A small pea, one cell comes inside, and in that one cell, all these vasanas, subtle body, senses, subhavam, everything is in that. That little thing inside goes inside. And then the body develops around that. When that andaryami inside, that aham, in that cell, decides, I want my hands, hands comes out. I want my legs, legs comes out. I want my senses, senses comes out. This is how body develops for around the jiva, right? And then after 10 months he comes out, is everything, and then we are all gradually. When you read this and when you celebrate your birthday, you will see how where we are at. And where the Upanishads are talking about it, right? So, that's the important thing. So, here Krishna is saying that in the same way, this happiness what you feel while sleeping, right? And similarly, when you get very close to death, old age comes, and then in the early days, in your 30s, 40s, 50s and all, you won't worry about it so much. But as you get older, and when you get very close to death, say you have few months to live, you may not be aware of that. It can, sometimes you can be sick or may not be sick also. When you get closer to that, how do you know that? You still thinking inside, I'd like to die rather than living. An attachment for death comes in at that moment. You get attracted to death more than anything else in this world. What goes on in this world doesn't matter anymore. your attraction for death increases. You feel, because a stage comes in life, at that point, right, now, today, when you are young and all, you are frightened of death. Will I die? And you are protecting the body all the time. But when you get very closer to death, what will happen is, as much desire you had for sleeping, for a deep sleep, similarly, a desire will come for to die as well. It will come. It will come, a desire to die will come at that moment. Wants to die and leave this world. Wants to die and leave this world. That desire will come at that time. Right? And because death is also a sleep only, in another way. It's a sleep, right? So, therefore, that desire comes to go and dissolve yourself in that Antaryami. Then Antaryami decides what body you have to take and when to come back and all that, other things, right? So, Mrityu, that is why Krishna said that. Mrityu, Uddhava, Atyanda Vismriti, he said. All it is you're forgetting it, that's all. There's nothing more than that. Forgetting this body and thinking of another body. That is all Mrityu means. But we get very worried, isn't it, about death. And we have all the gorgeous arrangements, how not to die. Somehow or the other, we are trying to keep the jiva inside the body. If you keep on hearing Vedantam, the benefit is, the fear of death will go from inside. Because fear of death is a misunderstanding actually, from Vedantam point of view. It's a misunderstanding of that. So great Vedantis, they never are frightened about death. Great Vedantis. They have a good understanding inside that this body will go, it is meant to go. And they also are very, very, very clear in their head what is going to happen. That means how the jiva will go from one body to the next body and what the jiva will carry with him. He's not going to lose anything except this gross body. Everything else will go with him. So what is there to worry about? Nothing is taken. Only the gross body, you'll get another gross body from that. Yeah. So, Mrityu is Krishna. Mrityu is Krishna. Death is Krishna. Ishvara Swarupam. And that is why in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna said, Mrityu Sarvaharaschaham, he says. The same aham Krishna is referring there. Mrityu Sarvaharaschaham, that's me, Krishna says. That Mrityu is me, right? Mrityu is my Swarupam. Mrityu means death. It's my Swarupam, right? So, he says, Vedeshya Sarvair Ahameva Vedyam. Through Vedam, I am to be known, aham to be known. And the one who knows Vedam, that's me. And Vedam is known to Antaryami. Antaryami knows the Vedam, right? Only Antaryami knows Vedam. Therefore, that is the reason, because Antaryami knows the Vedam, that is why all great personalities have said, Vedam will not leave this world. It will stay in this world. Not because of our digital copying and maintaining in the CDs and cassettes, no. Because Antaryami knows Vedam, this Vedic knowledge will remain in this world. You won't be able to wipe it off from here. You see? You won't be able to take out Vedam, because if you have to destroy Vedam, you have to destroy Antaryami. As long as Antaryami is present here, Vedam will be present in this world. Sometimes there will be a dim situation where because of too much avidya it may be covered. But when avidya goes away, Antaryami will come back again with the Vedam, Vedic knowledge, right? So, and that is how, because this is the system, that is the reason why it is called Sanatanam. It is from this concept that Antaryami himself has the Vedam in him. Therefore, it is called Sanatanam. And that's how this name came, Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma didn't come because it will stay forever. We keep on saying that others have only been 2,000, somebody else has only 1,500 years, this was for 5,000 years. That is not how Sanatana Dharma is defined. Normally, people compare one religion to another and start saying, this religion is only 1,500 years old. The other one is 2,000 or 3,000, whatever it may be. Different religions will say like that. But Sanatana Dharma is not interested in time. Sanatana Dharma, because it comes from the Antaryami, and Antaryami is the source from him, As long as Antaryami is there, Sanatana Dharma will be there. Sometimes it may be covered, but it will be revealed again. It will come out again, right? So, Sanatana Dharma, which is Vedam, will keep on appearing again and again inside a jiva. In some jiva. Again, you can see this. Lot of places, a lot of spiritual activities are going on, right? A lot of places, lot of spiritual activities are going on. But somewhere, unknown person, in some corner of the world, somewhere, through somebody, self-realization happens. This is more interesting. Generally, we think that because we are doing everything in the right way, we are in the sampradaya, we are in the parampara, we are this, we are that. So many things we talk about, right? And our concept is that because we are following Shastram in this way, it should appear only in this particular place, in this particular people. It should happen because they are following rigidly. It is not so. It doesn't happen that way. Somewhere, unknown place in somewhere, someone, his Antaryami decided to reveal it through him. It came out in that way. And that's how it is. The famous story of Nisargadatta Maharaj in Mumbai. He was living in a slum. And his job was making these BDs. You know, you may not have seen the BDs, have you? Yeah. BD was there before cigarettes came. BD is the ancestor of the cigarette. So everybody was smoking BD then. And that was what he was doing. And he kept doing it till the end of life. Kabir, another example, right? Born in a Brahmana family, brought up by a Muslim family, but through him, everything was revealed to him, and he became the great personality like that. So they didn't come through no institution trained him up or anything. He didn't go through Brahmachari life like that, like the way we do everything. Organized way didn't work for them. That is the nature of Antaryami. Antaryami, if he wants to reveal it to somebody, it will come through anyone. It can happen in big traditions also. It can happen. Yeah. So, Sanatanam, it will keep on happening like this, right? So, Vedam is that Shastram which will never be lost. It cannot get lost, right? So, and Krishna is saying that Vedam is me. And that knowledge is me. Vedanta Krit, right? And similarly, Krishna says that Vedam finishes with me. Vedantakrit Veda Videva Chaham. Right? In other words, this knowledge in the Vedam, once you got it properly, then full stop. There is no more further inquiry after that. In life, everybody is looking for something new, isn't it? Tapping all sources to find out what else is there to know. More knowledge, more information, collection, all these things comes to a stop. In other words, once you have realized the self, Vedam is finished. Vedam, once you have realized the self, Vedam is finished, right? So, what is the purpose of all the Vedam? Knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self, right? In other words, for one who has known, realized himself, then he doesn't require any more knowledge after that, right? Whether it is material knowledge or spiritual knowledge, none of them he needs anymore after self-realization, right? So, for him, Atma, the self itself is the Vedam, right? And Atma, Antaryami, is the mind field of all the knowledge, right? Therefore, Jnani, or a realized soul, he does not require Vedam anymore, and he does not need Vedam anymore. So, through Vedam, what is to be known is Antaryami, and this Vedanta Sampradayam, Vedanta Artha Sampradayam, has come from Krishna. Narayanam, Padma Bhuvam, Vasishtam, in that way, that parampara. So, this parampara, continuous parampara like that. Narayana, Brahma, Vasishta, Shakti, Parashara, Vedavyas, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi, Parishit. In this way, this knowledge has stayed in this world. What is the pramanam for all these things? Pramanam is this, that knowledge is Krishna. Krishna is knowledge, jnanam, right? And Guru is Ishvara, right? So these sampradayams of all start from Ishvara. And that is in the Advaita Sampradayam, they call Dakshinamurti, right? So they will say always that that jnanam, knowledge, should be always be received through sampradaya, through sampradaya system, right? Jnanam can be fresh, but not new. It can be fresh, but it cannot be new, right? And there is nothing new here. That's another interesting thing. There's nothing new thing we are finding out anything here, right? And nothing is new, and nothing, you cannot invent anything. You can't do research on these things, right? And everything is already there, and there is nothing to be proud of in all these things. All what Antaryami does is, if he removes that covering, avaranam, inside us, you are experience the self that way. And Krishna is present in everyone as the Antaryami, as the Antaryami. So, in order to know this Antaryami, it is for that purpose that Shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, all other literature, right? Antaryami means what? This experience inside, awareness, bodham, I am, that consciousness, right? So, Jnanamargam is Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam in that way. And once you have heard all these things from Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads and Vedantam, everything, then alone, one should reflect on all these things, right? This is not a performance. This is not a performance. Is it a katha? The problem is that we got used to this katha business too much, right? Keep on hearing katha, katha, katha everywhere. So what has happened is, katha, basically what it means is, what is spoken in the Shastram. Basically katha means that, right? Not story. We make it like stories. It is not story, right? Brahma Vidya is also katha. You will see this in the Bhagavadam. Prithu Maharaj, when they met the four Kumaras, they told him this. Mahatta Mandar Mukhambuj Achyudo Vithalsa Karnayidam Eshame Vara, he says. He mentions there that the this jnani is what they experience inside. When it comes from their mouth, realize the souls, when it comes from their mouth, Prithu Maharaj says, give me 10,000 years, Prithu says, give me 10,000 years to relish that what is coming from their mouth. Mahatta Mandar Mukhambuj Achyudo Vithalsva Karnayudam Eshamevara, he said. Bhagavadam, right? So this Vedanta Vidya, Shravanam Mananam, Shravanam itself is a great fortune, right? But it is not good enough if you hear that. Alone you should reflect on all these things, what Krishna is saying here, right? Alone, in solitude. And Mananam, how will you do that? All these things what Krishna has spoken, you have to, if it comes in your practical realizations, one should try to do that. That means our faith in all the other avidya what we have collected, we have to learn that to wipe it out and replace it with what Krishna has spoken here. That Antaryami is the source, right? So, and that is what one is supposed to do. To bring it, this knowledge inside and acceptance of that. Not just here and leaving it and then doing the things what we did before. So, jnana sadhana, bhakti sadhana, whatever it may be, what is it, swarupam? Swarupam is like this. If the body dies, still that aham aham awareness exists. And it is that awareness is that's what's going into the next body again, right? So, that is why Krishna said that, isn't it? Matasmadar jnanam apohanam cha. I am that awareness inside, and it is me who have to reveal to you that knowledge. That knowledge, you should experience it from me. Matasmadar jnanam apohanam cha, he said, right? So, till Antaryami reveals it to you, you have to keep on knocking at the door of Antaryami. Till Antaryami reveals it to you, you have to keep knocking at the door of the Antaryami with these prayers that you have to reveal it to me, otherwise I am not going to have it, right? If it is not possible, all the upasana what you have spoken, if it is not possible, continuously praying to Antaryami for help and wait for his mercy. That's all. Yeah? So, simply pray to Antaryami, I just want to know your Swarupam, your identity. Because if I realize that, then I'll realize who I am in that way. So if you do that for a long period of time, when your prarabdham is also running out, karmam runs out, Antaryami will show some response from inside. Yeah? It will reveal itself, and that is the jnanamargam. Jnanamargam is that, continuously knocking at the door of Antaryami through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. That is jnanamargam. Right? So this ahankaram inside we have, that won't allow you to do it. Because ahankaram always comes and put the spine up everywhere. Right? So this ahankaram, inquiring about that in the form of I am, that inquiry, so then you realize that inquiry what you are doing, it has got one aspect called temporary form, nashuram, right? So, I have a form, aham, one form is temporary and one form is permanent. One form is temporary. Antaryami form is permanent, jiva form is temporary, right? So, and that is what Krishna is going to now talk about, charam and acharam. You see the next verses coming from that. Charam acharam evacha. The temporary form of ours is jiva, that is charam. The permanent form of us is Antaryami, that is acharam. We'll talk about it after the break. Cheto darpanam arjanam baumaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandambudhi vardhanam pratipada purna amrita swadhanam sarvabda supanambaram vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namna amakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smarnena kalam dadushita vakriba bhagavan mamabhi durdaiva medasham iha janin anuragaham trunarabhi shunichena tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam najanam na sundarim kavidamva jagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadal bhaktirahe togetvai ayi nandadanyu jakingaram padidamam shamai bhavambudau kribaya tavapada pangajasthita dhuli sadrisham vichindaya nayanam galadashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulagair nijidam galavavu tavannamagrahane bhavishadi Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaidam shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahenami ashlishya vapadaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yatha tatha va vidathadulam vado malprananatha sunayevana para sarvatra govinda nam sankirtanam govinda govinda. Dvavimau purushau loke kshara-chakshara-yevacha kshara-sarvani-bhutani kudastho-kshara-uchyade. 16th verse. Dvavimau purushau loke kshara-akshara-yevacha kshara-sarvani-bhutani kudastham-akshara-uchyade. Krishna is saying that in this world, there are two purushas. What are they? One is charam and another one is aksharam. Charam means one who will get destroyed. Aksharam means one who never gets destroyed. There are the three purusha is going to talk about it. Chara purusha, akshara purusha and purushottama. Three things. Right? All living entities are chara. And so, one that gets destroyed is a charam. The one that doesn't get destroyed is acharam. And both chara and akshara purusha, both of them, and particularly the chara purusha, his cause of his appearance and cause of his appearance, right? And all living entities in this world, in material existence, samsaram, their karma vasana or samsara vasana, all of them, is dependent on this akshara purusha. That's a relationship. Kshara purusha, akshara purusha, purushottama. This chapter is called Purushottama Yoga, isn't it? Purushottama Yoga. So, what is this purusha? Kshara purusha, akshara purusha, purushottama is talking about, right? So, let's look at that. Our ahankaram, jiva, which is called, is kshara purusha. You see, kshara purusha. Akshara purusha is that one, that is the Ishvara. Ishvara is the akshara purusha. So, we are kshara purusha the jiva, akshara purusha is the Ishvara, or which you can call it as the Andaryami, inside. But at the same time, when the jiva realizes that he is not that jiva anymore, what he thought he is, right? He realizes that he doesn't exist. He has no existence as such. Who? The jiva. And only Andaryami exists. Then that state is called Purushottama. That's the state when you call Purushottama. First of all, there is jiva. Then there is Andaryami. Akshara Purusha, Ishvara, you can call it. Ishvara, Sarvabhudanam, Sundesha. So, Kshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha. Jiva, Ishvara. And then, when jiva realizes that, I have no real existence, that has to come through realization only, that he becomes one with the Andaryami inside, that time he is called Purushottama. Purushottama. So, these are the three things which he is going to talk about in now. Kshara means what is keeping contact with the body, with the mind, or that ahankaram inside us, which is keeping contact with all the other things, senses, swabhavam, all these things collectively together is called kshara purusha, right? Ahankaram. Ahankaram means I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This is all in the kshara purusha. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, all these things, right? So, kshara purusha in this life is one way. In the next life, you will be different again. When he moves into the next body, he will behave differently. So, kshara purusha always changes his, because he is connected with the vasanas, with the mind, with the body, and things like that, right? In other words, kshara purusha is the personality in this world. What we call as the personality. Or developed personality, which has developed at different times in us. We have one personality now. When we get to the next body, what will happen? Our personality will change, isn't it? We'll be a different personality then. So this developed personality is what they call it as kshara purusha in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So that's why you have to be careful. When Bhagavad Gita is for personality development, you're actually developing his kshara purusha side of it, which is not his, it is right, it is personality only, right? So, but that is not our swarupam. Our identity is not that, right? And that is our swarupam in this world, in the prakriti. In the prakriti, in this world, that is our swarupam. We display that way as kshara purusha, right? So in this world we are kshara purusha, right? And I will say I am this, I am that. We say all these kind of things. I'll say I am a brahmana, I am a kshatriya, I am a vaishya, shudra. Or I'll say I am a man, I am a woman. Or I'll say I am a big important VIP in the society. Or I'm saying this, that. This is all kshara purusha. Kshara purusha says all these things, right? Identity image, you can call it like that. The image coming from your identity, right? And there is already something inside us, and the society where you live, that also give you some identity. The society will look at you in a particular way. Suppose you are living in Lechmore Heath. The devotees will treat you like a devotee, but the people outside will think of you as a Hare Krishna, one who goes to the temple, one who attends Krishna, is Hare Krishna, as they will say. So society gives you a different way they looks at you, devotees will see it. In the same way, society will give you some identity, and they will deal with you in that understanding. Whereas, in your own inside, you won't be like that, the way they are treating you. You won't be thinking in a different way. So Kshaya Purusha is this. You have your own personality, what you are thinking about yourself, and then the outside world is thinking of you in a different way. So all these things, and it is this Kshaya Purusha who is actually experiencing happiness and distress. Sukham, Dukham, all these things. Remember the two birds we spoke about before. Famous it is. Dva Suparna, Saija, Sakhayam, Samana Vriksham, Parishasya Jati, Tayor, Anyam, Pipala Swadvati, Anastananyam, Abhishaka Shiti. Right? So, Kshaya Purusha is one bird which is enjoying everything. And the Akshara Purusha is that Sakshi who is sitting on the branch, one of the branch, and looking at the other one. The other one is eating sometimes bitter fruits, sometimes sweet fruits. When it eats bitter fruits, it looks up to the other bird. The other bird is not eating any fruits. He's just sitting there. Right? So Krishna is saying here that he is just a witness. Right? So Krishna says here actually that Akshara Purusha, who is that bird who is sitting there on the top, is the only reality. The other one is not real. So Krishna is saying here that Dvavimau Purushau Loge, that's saying here. Atha Pratakrashi Kradau Purushau Idi Uchede. Loge Samsare Kshairacha Aksharadi Kshairadi Idi Kshaira Vinashi Ego Rashi Aparaha Purushaha Aksharatad Vibirido Bhagavado Maya Shakti Kshairakhyasya Purushasya Ulpatti Bijam Aneka Samsari Jandu Kama Karmadi Samskara Ashraya Aksharaha Purusham Uchyate. Right? So, what was there before, it is broken into three. Segregation, right? And explaining here that the one that doesn't, one gets destroyed is Aksharam. Ones that doesn't get destroyed is Aksharam. Is Aksharam. And, you see here what he's saying. Ajayani Swami says, Kshara Sarvani Bhudani Samastam Vikara Jantam Ityartaha Kudastam Kudo Rashi Rashi Vastidaha Kudo Maya Vanchana Jinmata Kudilata Iti Paryayaha Anega Maya Vipragara Anega Mayadi Pragarana Siddhi Kudasta Samsara Bijam Anandyad Natsharadi Iti Asharamuchade. Means that everything that has come from Vigaram, emotions, right? They are all Kshara. In other words, it is with everybody else, and in him, in this Kshara Purusha, he has got all impurities in him. Impurities. Impurities means what? Maya is affecting him, the three modes of nature. He cheats others. And his buddhi is vakra buddhi. You know vakra buddhi means? Not straightforward. Very crooked way he thinks, right? Then kudilata. Kudilata means that a mentality to conniving things, you know? You know, nature in us, that's what he's saying about. So, Maya, Vanchana, Vakragadi, Kudilata, all these things are in him, and therefore he is called Kudastham. That is his Kudam. Kudam means this, the covering inside, right? So, and due to that, due to these extensive things like this, he continuously go through samsara. He cannot escape from samsara because of these problems. Maya, similarly, vanchana, vakragadi, kudilada, all these words he has used here. Maya, vanchana, jinmada, kudilada, he says. Idi paryayaha of the Sharagurusha. Anega mayadi prakaryana sthidaha, kudasaha, samsara bijam anandyat na charadi. Idi acharamuchade, right? So, one who has become free from both charam and acharam, right? That means neither of them. Charam acharam means nashwaram anashwaram. Temporary, permanent. Jiva Ishwara. If you look at it that way. One Ishwara is permanent. Anashwaram. Jiva is nashwaram. Means temporary. Ishwara is permanent. Then, what else he is saying here? Chara achara ubhadi avayava doshena. These both are ubhadis. Temporary thing, permanent thing. Both are ubhadis. One who has become free from both the ubhadis, but one who is always existed, nitya shuddha buddha mukta svabhavam, is Purushottama. So, at different levels you are talking about it now. In the lowest level is Charapurusha. And then the next phase is Acharapurusha. And Purushottama is the perfection. Perfection is Purushottama, right? So, here you can see they have, there's a comparison to understand this between the English grammar and the Sanskrit grammar, if you look at it. The huge difference between English grammar and Sanskrit grammar, right? In English grammar, first person is me, and second person is you, and the third person is he or she, isn't it? First person is me, second person is you, and third person is she or he. It is, right? In Sanskrit grammar, the first person is he, yeah? And second person is you, and the third person is me. See the difference there? Grammar itself is like that. Grammar itself is like that. Yeah. So, first person is he, which is called as Prathama Purushan. Then, second person is you, which is Madhyama Purushan. And third person is I, Uttama Purushan. In other words, their understanding is, in the people, Panini and all, who wrote the grammar in the Sanskrit, he didn't write the grammar, he wrote commentary on the grammar. Everything. Right? Patanjali also wrote his commentary on the grammar. Grammar and all existed way back before they came. Even Patanjali and Panini and all came before that. Grammar existed, right? Sanskrit insists that the one who has no connection with you should be the first person. Should be the first person, right? In material life, laugiyam, vyavaharam, right? In English, I am more important, isn't it? Everything is centered around me. I am doing the vyavaharam, all transactions in this way. Then I accept these are all my people. Then people with whom, third one is people who have no connection with me as such, but they exist, and object, relationship in that way, subject in that way. So, Sanskrit, object is the first person. And so, my ahankaram or pride inside, that is given to drishyam. In other words, when you become free from ahankaram inside, ahankaram completely leaves you, right? That ahankaram is not given importance at all. Why? Because ahankaram, normally in vyavaharam, ahankaram is the main one, isn't it? I am doing business with you, and it is for my benefit I am doing business with you. So I am more important for me in vyavaharam. In Sanskrit, what they have done, they said, I am not important. I am not important. So ahankaram is given the third position. And so, which means, once you don't give importance to ahankaram, then your knowledge becomes pure. The knowledge what you get will be purer. It will be much purer, right? So, you are a second person, and then, again, I am not there, right? I am that Kshara Purusha, which is going to get destroyed. Only if ahankaram is not there inside, you can conduct the vyavaharam in that way, with this way, like the way the Sanskrit grammar is, right? Only if the ahankaram is not there, in the grammar also it is like that. So when you give importance to a third person, right, and when you are willing to stand behind the second person, behind that, right, and or you remain in the last at the end, right, what will happen to you? You will lose your ahankaram, will leave you. If you put yourself in the front, ahankaram will be strong. But if you give importance to a third person, first person as a third, another third person, and you as a second person, and me as a last person, if you do that, the ahankaram in me is not given importance anymore. Ahankaram has to stand back. Has to stand back, right? So, because in order for the ahankaram to survive in this world, you have to be in front of me. Is it not? All the time. Only then I can dominate you and my ahankaram will control you. So if I give importance to you first, you or he or she first, the third person and the first person and the second person, see, first person, second person, and me remain the third person, my ahankaram won't get an opportunity to come up. Do you get the point, what I'm saying? Yeah? So, if you wipe out this ahankaram or Kshara Purusha, if you are destroyed, then jiva will go. Jiva is finished then. Ahankaram is finished, right? Ultimately, what will remain is this Uttama Purusha only. And Uttama Purusha is Krishna. Narayana or Krishna, right? And that is why you will see that in the next verse. These verses are very important because this is the core teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, the core message coming out like this. Uttama Purushastanyam Paramalmetya Dahrida Yo Logatraya Mavishya Bibartya Vyam Ishwara. The next verse, 17th verse. Yeah? Then, the Uttama Purushastanyam Paramalmetya Dahrida Yo Logatraya Mavishya Bibartya Vyam Ishwara. Uttama Purusha is Paramatma and he is present in all creation and he administer it or he run the show. Uttamam ulkrashtatamam purushattu ananya antyanda vilakshanam abhyam paramatma idi paramacha aso dehadya vidyagradatmabhyam almaja sarvabhudanam pratyakchedan ityadam paramatma idi udahratam ukta vedandesho. So this paramatma who is purushottama, he is spoken as the best of all in the Upanishads also. And he is so different from everybody else. He is different from the one, from this body, because body is ajnanam. Avidya has created this body. And he is present in all these bodies as the Antaryami. And that Paramatma is spoken in detail here, right? What is that? In Bhulogam, Borlogam, Surlogam, in all the three planetary systems, he has entered into all of them. And he maintains them with his Surupam, right? And because he has no destruction, Avyayam, he has got the capacity or the ability to, he is Ishwara and he knows everything. And therefore, he has got the capacity to maintain everything like the way it is. And therefore, this word Purushottama, what is mentioned here, Uttama Purushastanyam. Uttama Purushastanyam means Purushottama. ഉത്തമ പുരുഷസ്തന്യം പരമാത്മേതി ഉദാഹൃത യോ ലോകത്രയം ആവശ്യ വിഭർത്തവ്യം ഈശ്വര. And Krishna is saying that I am that Purushottama, I am that, that state he is. Yeah? So it is to understand a little differently. In Sushupti state, it is this Purushottama with whom Saprasada and Samprasada de Purushottama, says Brihadaranyam. Brihadaranyam Upanishad says in the deep sleep state, what you are contact with is this Purushottama, right? So that Purushottama who does not have any upadhi, like the Kshara-purusha has got upadhis, he doesn't have any upadhi, and he get to realize his Suryupam properly when he becomes Purushottama. So you got to give some time to analyze these things very clearly and understand it. What is Kshara-purusha? What is Akshara-purusha? What is Purushottama? Krishna is talking about all the three here. Kshara-purusha we discussed earlier as Jiva. Then Akshara-purusha we have discussed so far as Andaryami. And now he is talking about, once you have transcended both, then you comes to this Purushottama state. Purushottama state, yeah. So that's what that verse is talking about, 17th verse, right? So, Purushottama Yogam, that's this chapter, named as Purushottama Yogam. Okay? Upanishads will call it as Brahmam. Bhagavad Gita calls it as Purushottama. Upanishad calls it as Brahmam. And Bhagavad Gita calls that as Purushottama, right? Purushottama means that Vedam says Purusha, right? And glorifies him in that way. Krishna is glorified like that, as Purusha. And here he called it as Purushottama, right? Means that knowledge, jnanam, vivekam, discrimination, vairagyam, renunciation, detachment, shamam, damam, ubaradi, tidiksha, shraddha, samadhanam, mumukshatvam. In this way, all the qualifications necessary for self-realization. Qualifications necessary for self-realization. If you have all these things together, only then you are in the right path, in the right track. That is the sampradayam system. So, out of all these things, these qualities, these are all qualities conducive for spiritual life, right? Jnanam, vairagyam, vivegam. Then, shamam, damam, ubaradi, tidiksha, shraddha, samadhanam. All this. And above all, they are called, then above all, shamadmadi shal sambati, they call it. And then, mumukshatvam, desire for liberation. Want to escape from here. Get out of this prakriti. Mumukshatvam. All these things, right? So, out of all these things, what is vairagya means? Vairagya means coming out of these external things in this world, sense gratification, sense objects, everything, able to withdraw from that and able to go inwards, antarmukhatvam. And the most favorable sadhana for that is vairagya. We know that. It doesn't have to be said. If you have thought through it, you will know it, isn't it? If you have vairagyam inside, your attraction with the world will go from inside. Because we don't have vairagyam, that's why we go into the world again, still looking, is there any happiness anywhere left? Trying to dig it out something, if we can get something here. So that is purely due to lack of vairagyam inside. Yeah. So vairagyam means that the capacity to pull out from the world and able to go inwards. That sadhana is vairagyam, right? And the reason for vairagyam will come to a person who has got vivekam, discrimination power, discriminative capacity, right? In that case, vairagyam will become a cause for samadhi even, right? So these things, Shraddha, Bhakti and Dhyanam, all these things are required for self-realization, right? So in order to the mind to become focused on something, Vairagyam is required. Suppose if you don't have Vairagyam, what will happen? Different things, chittavrittis will come from different places and our mind will be pulled in all directions. And therefore Dhyanam is not possible. Concentrate, you won't be able to focus on anything. Dhyanam is not possible, right? So in order that to happen, so Vairagyam to happen, Vivekam is required. And in order that the Vivekam to come first, to happen in a person, that therefore samsaram was spoken, Krishna has spoken as a tree upside down. He spoke for that purpose. Urdhamulam Athashaka Ashottam Prahuravyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Vedas Vedavit. You have to know why Krishna spoke in that particular way. So that by presenting samsaram in that way, if you develop Vivekam, you will have this qualification of Vairagyam. If you have Vairagyam, your attention will go inwards. Otherwise, suppose you don't take notice of any of these things, simply keep on busy with the world outside, and all, I want everything in this world, I want to enjoy everything, if you have that nature, then what will happen? What will happen then? Nothing will happen. You may be chanting your rounds also, and you are all enjoying your life also together. I don't want to miss out anything, materially and spiritually. You want a win-win situation. That won't happen. That's what he's saying here. Krishna is saying, first thing is, Vairagyam is necessary to look in, go inwards. In order Vairagyam to happen, Vivekam is required. For Vivekam to happen, you have to know the samsaram properly. In order to create Vivekam in us, Krishna explained the samsaram in the form of a tree and put it in front of us. Urdhamulam, Athashaka. You remember all the description of that, the three modes of material nature, how it is affecting us, which we have discussed in the beginning, all those things, right? So this is actually considered to be Ashwatha tree. Ashwatha means this banyan tree, right? So Ashwatha means, Ashwatha, the word itself is, that does not exist tomorrow. It will be gone, right? Nashwaram. And Krishna said also that in the Bhagavad Gita, Anityam, Asukham, Lokam, and all this, right? Krishna said that, is it not? He mentioned, I have never seen Krishna saying one good word about this world. Everything very depressing, what he has said in the Bhagavad Gita. And another place he said, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. This is the definition of this product what he has manufactured and given to us. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Anityam Asukham Logam. And Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi. This is this world. Ragadvesham. Kartrutva Bhoktrutva. All these things, if you put it together, it is this world, beautiful world, what we are feeling so happy about. Yeah. So, Anityam Asukham Logam, Krishna said. But to give up this world, it is not so easy, is it? Because we are stuck inside this Prakriti, Maya. She is holding us so tight. And if you say, oh, I'm not going to... Sometimes people say, I was in Maya. So when you hear that, you have to laugh. He says, sometimes devotees say like that, I was in Maya, he says. Now I come out of Maya. One sannyasi, he fell down with one of his disciples, right? So he says, oh, I'm sorry, he says. I was in Maya, he says. As though he is out of it now. Who is not in Maya? Tell us one person, right? So, and therefore, it is not possible to throw away this Maya like that. You think about it, right? Where will you leave it? Where will you leave Maya? To take it like that. And similarly, this body is concerned. What do you do with it? How can you give it up, right? So, for self-realization, knowledge of the self, Vairagyam is required. And not Vairagyam for Vairagyam purposes. Not for Vairagyam purposes. But Vairagyam for self-realization purposes, right? For the sake of knowledge. So, this Vairagyam, or renunciation as they call it, right? That is an emotion inside, yeah? Don't want it. Detachment from everything, right? It is not possible to maintain it for a long time. If you observe, look at ourselves, you can see that. Temporarily, sometimes you suddenly feel a lot of vairagyam inside. But then, modes of nature changes, your vairagyam also changes along with that, right? You know, when they push the rocket from the people who launch the space rockets, right? It is pushed from this earth first, right? It goes. And at the same time, when the rocket goes away, there is a powerful, this force of, what they call the pulling force down.
Gravity.
Force of gravity is strong to pull it back, right? So, therefore, what they do when they build the rockets, if you see, they have a booster rocket, step by step by step, till it escapes from the forces of gravity. It gets out of it, right? So, these booster rockets will come out one after the other, and finally it goes out of the field of gravity, and then at the time when it leaves, it's called escape velocity, the velocity of escaping. At the time the speed is so fast to get out from this control of the field of gravitation, right? Similarly, our mind, it is unnecessarily wandering around in this world, looking for different things, trying to be happy, trying to do different things, thinking that it will make me happy. All misunderstanding only, avidya only, right? So, gradually to bring it out, the mind to pull it back from everything. And then, in order to keep it in a shanti state, peaceful state, jnanam is required, knowledge is required. And everybody wants to be happy in this world, peaceful in this world. Everyone desires that, shanti, everybody wants it, right? That's why after all Upanishad mantram it will say, shanti, 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 shanti. You heard that, haven't you? All Upanishad mantrams it will say at the end, Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Shanti is the one what we want, really, right? And similarly, Krishna also said that, tameva sharanam gacha, sarva bhavena bharata, tal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsesi shashwaram. He said that. So, what is Bhagavad Gita's prasadam from Bhagavad Gita? Or what is Bhagavad Krishna's kripa or mercy? What does that mean? It means shandim prapsesi shashwaram. That's what Krishna is offering us. You will get shandi, he's saying to us that. Yeah? So, so, many people think like this, that some people have this understanding that if I have developed enough vairagyam, then spiritual life is over with that, right? That means give up everything in this world and world is temporary, then where will you go after that, right? Just like you have wiped out all the forest now. And where will you go now? Similarly, vairagyam is necessary, but then from that is only one step. From anatma, you have to go to atma, to the soul, right? So, in other words, from outside vairagyam has come, but then you have to go to swarupam, your spiritual identity, what you are. That means to get established in the self, atmanishta is required, right? In other words, vairagyam has come, but I am still not managed to get rid of things what I am not. Like body, mind, intelligence, senses, vasanas. None of them is me. I have to get rid of all those things as well. Simple vairagyam only helps you to go inwards. But vairagyam alone is not sufficient. After vairagyam, you have to become free from all the other conditioning. From the body, mind, intelligence, senses, everything. Right? So, for example, if you get attracted to something in this world, the mind will go attract whichever way it is attracted, right? So, in the same way, if you get attracted to that Antaryami inside strongly, Krishna inside strongly, then all this attraction for the world will leave us. Otherwise, it will keep on going. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartade. He mentioned that in the second chapter. That's what it means. If you lose the rasam in the world outside, param drishtva nivartade. If you see Krishna inside, Antaryami inside, and if you have developed some relationship with him, that taste alone will get rid of all other tastes. Otherwise it won't go. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartade, Krishna said. Right? So, Vairagyam is an intermediate stage in between. Coming out of this world. That's Vairagyam stage. Right? Gopi said this in the Bhagavatam. Have you looked at the Bhagavatam? If you look at the that Rasa dance time, Gopi saying there, Itare raga vismaranam nranam adharar vira aste adharamradam. There's a verse there. Yeah? He says, because we got attached to you, we developed vairagyam towards everything else. Exactly what Krishna has said in the second chapter. Idana raga vismaranam nanam adhara viranaste adharamrutam, he said. So when ragam, attachment came to Krishna, vairagyam towards sense objects, vishayam, has come. They are saying this, gopis are saying this, right? In other words, if I get attracted to Atma, Antaryami inside, I have to have vairagyam towards Anatma, what is not Atma. What is not Atma? Only when you get attracted to Anatma, vairagyam will come, and then you have to get attracted to Atma inside. So, gopis are saying, when we got attracted to Atma, which is Krishna, gopis are saying this, Krishna is the Atma. When we got attracted to Atma, our attraction for Anatma disappeared, gone away from us, right? So, what that means is, in spiritual life, spiritual language, if you put that words, what gopis have spoken is, that in order to develop that ragam inside, mind has to become antarmukhatvam, inward looking, right? And when the mind, after meditation or japam or dhyanam, in whichever way it is, if it has become inward looking, right, at one stage, at some stage, when you are making that progress, right, the mind will lose attraction for the world outside. Automatically. It will lose the attraction. And he will see this center inside, Antaryami, more attractive to him, to the mind, right? And Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtari, as he said, right? Karshadi. And that is how that name came to Krishna. Krishna is, what does Krishna mean? Krishna means that Krishna is the name of the Antaryami, actually. Karshayadi iti Krishna. One who is pulling everyone towards the center. That is why this word Krishna has come. Because Antaryami's nature is that one who has taken seriously spiritual life, who has developed vairagyam and who has started inward looking, he gets pulled in from inside. He pulls in. Therefore, he got the name Krishna in that way. Right? And Sri Shuka Brahmarshi in Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned this to us in Brahmasuri. Krishna menam avehitvam alpanam akhilalpanam jagaddidaya sopitra dehi vabhadi mayaya. That famous words in the Bhagavatam. Telling us, who is Krishna? Krishna is Antaryami inside. Krishna means Alpanam, Aghinalpanam. For all living entities, he is the very soul of everyone. Right? So he decided like that, Krishna is the Alpma, and it is Alpma's pulling power, Akrashanam. That is, that it has got that pulling power, us. We are not getting pulled in easily because we have got all so much anartham inside us, isn't it? That's why that attraction is not happening. But Krishna, when he decides, Antaryami, when he starts pulling, we will go very quickly inside. We won't be wasting time anymore, right? So, it is this Atma, which is Krishna inside, he is the one who keeping this mind going in us, our senses operating, right? And he is the one, he is keeping them like this in us. Who? Antaryami, Atma, Krishna. He keeps all this running. Which one? Mind. senses, buddhi, ahankaram, everything, right? And that Krishna also confirms that. Manashashtani indriyani prakritisthani karshadi. Earlier, mamayuvamsho jivaloke, jivabhuda sanatana. Manashashtani indriyani prakritisthani karshadi, right? So this karshadi business or agarshanam is a very nature of the soul, andaryami. Andaryami's nature is like that. It pulls, right? So everything what is not Atma, you will get bored with it. All material things are like that. You get attracted to it. This getting attracted power is coming from Atma. And that it, although you have your vasana, vasana gets life from Andaryami only. Everything is Andaryami at the end. Andaryami, through the vasanas, drag you to sense objects. And then you get attracted to them. So, because Krishna is saying, you have created all this vasana, so I don't want to waste your vasanas. Let's utilize it. I'll give you the power for that also. Everything he says, yes, yes. Whatever you want, you do. You develop the vasana, I'll support it from behind. That's his approach, right? So, so this karshanam, agarshanam, is the business of Andaryami. That's the way it is, right? And but when you enjoy something which is not related to Atma, you get fed up after a while. And that is the reason when nighttime comes, you want to close everything, all business in this world, and you want to go and sit with the Atma. Are we not doing that every night? When we get whole day busy with running here, running there, doing this, doing that, all sorts of things you do. But in the end, about 8, 9 o'clock, you decide that I had enough for the day. Let me go back to him, because that is where your happiness is. We think that this sleeping is a very bad thing. Sleeping is not a bad thing. It's only our desire inside. We criticize others, oh, he's sleeping too much and all. No, it is the actual desire inside to get out of this anatma, to go back to Atma, right? So, and only thing is, it is all done without all this knowledge, proper knowledge, right? But things are still happening every day, right? And we got tired of these two states, which one? Jagrat and Swapna. We got tired of that. So, so somehow or the other, when you go into Sushupti, a happiness. Nobody can deny that, can you? Can you? The happiness what you get in Sushupti, would you say you don't want it? You will never say that, would you? So, in Sushupti, everybody gets it. Irrespective of who it is, Prime Minister, President, an ordinary man, devotee, demon, they all, once they get to Sushupti, they get that happiness. Sushupti, right? Distress is there in Jagrat and Swapna. Happiness is there, distress is also there. Sometimes, more distress is there in the dream state than in the awakened state. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it's amazing, some of the distress what comes in the dream state. Yeah. You feel helpless also, because you are in the dream state. And that dream is so horrible that you don't know what to do. And till the dream, you come out of the dream state, you get really affected by that. Yeah. And then you start realizing, I didn't experience even in the awakened state this suffering, what I experienced in the dream state. You have seen that, haven't you? Some people, they cry loudly in the dream state. And the only way is the person who is sleeping somewhere close by, when he sees the person in the dream crying, he has to go and wake him up and bring him out of that. Otherwise, the suffering in that dream state, what he is going through, cannot be even compared with what happened in the awakened state, right? So, but that problem between awakened state and the dream state, that's not there in the Sushupti, deep sleep. In deep sleep, there is a covering there, avidya, covering is there. Therefore, you are not knowing what actually you are, but at the same time, even though you are in Sushupti and you have slept very well, And you were in your identity as a Swarupam. Because the avidya was there, you were not aware of that, what you went through in the Sushupti. These three states, if you study as much as possible and keep thinking about it, it will give you a lot of understanding about where Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying many things like that here. So this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states, and then you woke up in the morning, back to square one again, in the Jagrat. First you think about yourself, then you think about the family, then you think about everybody else, and then all the problems of the day, and then you're making your plan for the day. Some people write it down in the diary, isn't it? What has to be done every moment, and things like that. So, and all the anxieties about life, paying the bills, and if somebody has done scamming on your bank account, money has gone, inquiry about that. Like this, endlessly problem solving, whole day, busy with that, right? So this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, these three states is coming one after the other, every day, right? So Jagrat state, I was woken up, I was in the awakened state, and then I'm going into the dream state, right? And that one I was dreaming in that dream state, without knowing anything, I fall into Sushupti. From the dream state, I fall into Sushupti. That also you can notice it, that you moving away from the wakened state to dream state, and from the dream state to deep sleep, how you are moving that, you are become conscious of that, a little bit, not fully. Little bit, you know, that when you went to sleep first, you were Jagrat, you were in the Jagrat, when you went to sleep first. Then after lying down, after some time, your senses are shut down, and intelligence shut down, body is also shut down. Slowly you are moving into the dream state. And for quite some time, you may be in the dream state, dreaming different things all the time. And then while you are in the dream state, somehow or the other dreams all stopped, and gradually you moved into the Sushupti, deep sleep state, right? In Jagrat, when you were in the wakened state, when I was awake, I'm not actually awake. Most of the time I'm also dreaming. Lot of things I'm thinking about life, about future. It's also a kind of dream that comes to you. If you're sitting alone, I'm saying. If you're doing something physically and mentally, probably not. But suppose you're sitting at home quietly without doing anything. You are in the Jagrat state, right? You're not sleeping. But in that Jagrat also, you are dreaming a lot of things. What happened in the Buddha Saval Chinda Sakta, Pare Brahmani Kovina Sakta, right? Bala Saval Krida Sakta, Taruna Saval Taruni Sakta, Buddha Saval Chinda Sakta. So Buddha has only one business, Chinda, continuously thinking about it, yeah? Chinda Sakta. So basically, it is nothing but a dreaming, daydreaming they call it, isn't it? You're dreaming in the day. And then suddenly you go into sleep or something, then you start dreaming, Swapnam, right? And in the Sushupti, not knowing anything in this world, creation, even your own body or mind, you go to sleep. So these three states, unaffected by all the three states, untouched by any of the three states, there is my identity. And that is what we call it as Adhishthanam. Adhishthanam. It is called Adhishthanam. So Adhishthanam means that vastu, that is something there which does not go through these three states, but as a witness to all the three states. It remains like that. Yeah. And not only that, this body is changing, balyam, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, and then old age, all these things. When this is all happening in this body, that one inside is not going through any changes. That one inside, right? So, because he doesn't go through any changes, that is the reason why we feel, I have not changed. I am the same person, that feeling inside, is it not? Otherwise, suppose You are thinking you are this body. Suppose your consciousness were completely in the body. When the body is changing, you should feel it, isn't it? You are not feeling it as far as the bodham is concerned. Bodham is concerned, you are saying that I am the same person. I went to that school when I was young. I say like that. When I was young, I went to that school. I am able to say that only because my identity at that time and my identity now has not changed. What has changed is the body. I went to this company to work there for so many years. I worked. I married to this person for so many years. All these things I am saying with full knowledge that me, the one who has taken all these different identities, it's one. It hasn't changed. Yeah. So, that thing, experience that awareness, bodham inside, that is Krishna saying that it does not have any change. And that is you, which doesn't change at all, right? So, any amount of time you finish in this world, body has changed, mind changes, but me, that person who has gone through all these same things, has not changed. He had this continuous experience of all these things, right? And that is what is called pratyabhijna. The word used is pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that becoming aware of that identity, who you are. It is for that purpose Bhagavad Gita was spoken, to get this understanding in us. That, because you see, grip of the body on us, grip of the mind on us, grip of our ahankaram on us is so strong that it's not allowing us to understand who we are. It's blocking it all the time. So, Krishna is saying here that this pratyabhijna is the word for that. Pratyabhijna means suddenly you become realized that that's what you are, not this body, not this mind, not the senses, not the intelligence, not the ego, becoming disconnected from all that, right? So the problem is that this experience, we all have it, every one of us have it, right? Only problem is that we are not giving importance to it. That's the problem, right? Not attention on that, right? Such an valuable experience, that awareness of the existence, who we are, right? And which is present in the vacant state, in all the three states, dream state, deep sleep, right? And even between the chittavritti also, it is there, right? So, Vedantam is not giving us any new knowledge. What it does is making you to discover what you already have. That's all it is. Everything is inside us. What Vedantam does is trying to open up and take your attention to that thing, right? So, it's not giving you any new experience at all, right? So, but what Vedantam helps you is to study this anubhavam, experience inside, and start thinking in a different way. That's what it helps. It helps you to move away from our misunderstanding of the world and the body and the mind, and put us in the right place, in its right place. That's what Vedantam does to us, right? So, but in order that to happen, we have to have certain qualifications for that. What are the qualifications? First of all, Shraddha. Seriousness, Shraddha. Secondly, Adarava. Adarava means bhakti towards the Shastra. Not talking about bhakti towards Krishna. Bhakti towards the Shastra. Right? And then austerities, tapasya. And if you have all these things, bhakti, tapasya, adhara means respect, and shraddha. If those things are there, and with the help of that, if you have become pure inside, and our shraddha, just like a razor sharp, if it has become like that, only then you can accept all these things, what Krishna is talking about. Otherwise not, Right? That is the problem. So, intellectually you may understand things, but when it comes to the crunch, you will fail. Intellectually you may understand, but then it should stay with you. If it leaves you, then what's the use? So, it will fail when the crunch comes. Right? What's the reason for that? There is no bhakti. That means you have not respected Bhagavad Gita, you have not respected Krishna's position as the absolute truth. What he is saying is the truth. That conviction has not come inside. Still using the mind and intelligence to analyze the world, going after science and going after this and going after that and trying to compare this. And then, this is all the symptoms of a confused mind. So this refinement of the mind, able to offer full respects to Bhagavad Gita, to Krishna, and to the knowledge, what has come through that, is what is called bhakti. That's called bhakti, right? So, in simple terms, this purification, the refinement of the mind is called bhakti. Refinement of the mind is called bhakti. Not the other things, going to the temples or chanting the holy name or doing the kirtanam. All those things are okay. It is helpful for this. But actual bhakti means what Krishna has spoken, taking it 100% and live by that. Otherwise, what is the benefit? Intellectually understanding something, saying to others is okay. Or you go into temples regularly, doing deity worship, chanting the holy name, and all other things, Harinam, prasadam distribution, that's all fine. It can help you in some ways. But bhakti actually means when you are absorbing everything, what Krishna has spoken, the knowledge in there, completely inside and living by that. Then you can say you have got bhakti. Otherwise it is not considered to be bhakti, right? So, because in order to do that, mind has to be refined from all the impurities, right? So, and that is why muktihi tanyadha rupam surubena vyavasthiti and susurupa anisandhanam bhakti riti abhidiyade. Vivega Chudamani says this clearly. You see the words here? Muktihit anyatha rupam surubena vyavasthiti. Shukha Brahmarshi said that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Muktihit anyatha rupam surubena vyavasthiti. Who said this? Sri Shukha Brahmarshi to Parikshit in the beginning. Mukti means that anyatha rupam tiktva. You live up all other rupams and establish in the surubam. That alone is mukti. And Ajari Swamiji took the same thing and put into Viveka Chudamani, says, so surubanu anisandhanam bhakti riti abhidiyade. Only when you are trying to find out who you are, or self-realization, when that happens, that is bhakti, he said that. Yeah? So bhakti means what? Bhakti means Andaryami is inside, and develop that strength, tapasya or balam, for anusandhanam of the Andaryami, which is our Atma, right? So that Atma bhakti, or this recognition of the Andaryami inside. And if our devotion has not developed there, even if you are intellectually convinced on all these things, you won't be happy. Shanti won't come. Till this happens, Shanti won't come. Right? So, for example, sometimes people study books a lot, they hear a lot, and then they get clarity also. Everything becomes clearer for them, intellectually, right? And what they do after that is, they say, what's the point now, go to the temples, why do we have to chant the holy name? I've understood everything, they will say, and they'll stop everything, right? But if you ask the person, are you happy now, Shanti is there? He says, no, I know Shanti is there. And the reason is this, that he is still having stress or tension, everything. So Shanti is not there. So what is the benefit then? There is no benefit from that, isn't it? It is something like you are crossing the ocean, half the ocean you have crossed. What is the use? You have to cross the full ocean, is it not? So, a lot of people are in that situation also in spiritual life. They get into that situation, right? They say, I've understood everything, but because I've understood everything like this, I can't chant anymore. And I can't do any other upasana, they say like that. mean they are saying that I have understood everything looks perfect, what I have understood from the Bhagavad Gita. With all the Bhashyam, Vartiyam, Tika, everything they have studied and understood, it makes full sense. I have understood everything. And then he stops all other upasana. He says, I can't do anything anymore. He says, because this is how it is. And so, or something like you are jumping over a well, half the well you have jumped over, half is still you are not finished, right? So, no matter how intelligent you are, intellectually, right, if the shanti has not come, what is the use, right? What is the use of all these things? So, intelligent people, right, they take very, very silly things in this world very seriously. And sometimes they have, even very intelligent people, they have difficulty there in these things, right? But we must remember that only when there is bhakti, shraddha, dhyanam, all these things is there, only then the adhyatmam or spiritual life will be complete, right? So, if you only develop the intelligence, then it becomes a problem, right? So, if you only develop the brain side only brain, exploring with the brain, right? If you only do that, it is a problem. Only if you develop the brain, right? Buddhi is required, and Krishna said that also. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenama upayandide. He said that, right? So, but it stops there. But then Krishna says, one who wants mercy, he has to have bhakti. You have to remember, Krishna, when he talks about these things, you have to be very sensitive to it. When he glorifies buddhi, what he said about buddhi. When he talks about kripa, what he says about kripa. Who will get kripa? Who will get buddhi? All these things, background is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Those verses, you have to look back in them, right? So Krishna is saying that, one who comes to me with bhakti, I'll show him kripa. Right? What is kripa? What is kripa means? Kripa means your buddhi turning towards Antaryami. That is the kripa Krishna has to give us. At the moment, buddhi is going all over the place, right? If that buddhi goes inwards towards Antaryami, that is Krishna's kripa. See how they are connected each other? Buddhi, kripa, and Antaryami. They are all connected each other. They are not separate departments. It's all one thing only, self-realization at the end, the goal. For that, Antaryami's help is necessary. That kripa comes, at that time, we lose the interest in this, rest of the things. So, swarubana anisandhanam, swarubam, Antaryami swarubam, right? And our attention falls on the Antaryami. Our attention falls on the Antaryami. Everything else in this creation becomes insignificant. Simply attention is on the Antaryami. How to get closer to Antaryami, right? So, at that time, and that is what is called pratyabhijna. When your attention is falling on the Antaryami from the rest of the world, all other things gone away, attention fell on the Antaryami, it's called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna, right? And that pratyabhijna becomes very strong, realization starts flowing from that. And that is when your inquiry will become very strong. Who am I? And what am I talking about? All these things what Krishna has spoken. And these knowledge, it will come out of the grip of your body, mind, senses and intelligence and everything. And it will become your own stuff, your own possession it becomes. Just like when you churn the yogurt, you keep on churning like this. Remember the olden days how they churned. Now we got other things, isn't it? This is olden days, you have to churn. So if you keep watching them when they are churning, the yogurt was there, how the butter gets separated and starts building up along the churning rod, and they make it together as a bulk and take it out from that. And that is the same process what Krishna is saying here, that he is saying you will start experiencing that butter, Krishna inside, right? So, and that is that body what we were talking about is Sakshatkara Shariram. One who has reached that level, that he has got the realizations, Sakshatkara. And it also called as Vritti Jnanam, another word used in the Vedantam, right? So these are not intellectual thing, right? Vritti Jnanam is also bhakti. And because your anusandhanam of Atma is so strong, due to that, Vritti Jnanam, and that turns into Anubhuti, Anubhuti Rasam, right? What it does is that it's slowly you start feeling inside, I am Atma and not this body, mind, senses and all that. If you look at ourselves, you can see normally we are mostly in the platform of the mind, isn't it? We are busy with the mind most of the time in the vacant state. When the body is giving trouble, our attention will fall into body also. So between the body and the mind, we are floating all the time. In between, if there is some activities where it requires some decision making, intelligence also comes in. But overall, if you look at it, body, mind, intelligence and ego, in these four planes, you are always operating. We are always operating, right? But when this happens, Krishna is saying that their grip on us will loosen up. Of the body's grip, mind's grip, intelligence grip, ahankaram's grip, it will all loosen up, and then it is called pratyabhijna. And that pratyabhijna, if it becomes stronger inside, then that is when you start gradually ends up in nitya shuddha buddha mukta svabhava of the andaryami will be experienced inside. And then you realize that I am not this body, I am that pure vastu like the space. So all these are for mananam, for reflection purposes, right? So these thing answers will come for a person who is doing mananam on this chapter. That's the beauty of this chapter. Very good for mananam, this particular chapter, right? Otherwise, what will the mind say? Mind will tell us that, oh, I can do all this later. That's my nature. I've got so many other things to do in this world. And then if I keep on spending time on all these things, how will I live in this world? This is all mind creating this problem from inside. Mind won't give you any support from inside. Mind will drag you into all the other things in this world. And you will go after them again and again, doing the same thing, right? And then if you are an older person, it will make you start thinking, what can I do? I am become very old. I am so old now. And most of the people, by the time maximum, if you get to 80, 84, 84 is the 84 age, you know why important that is. 84 is important because by then you have seen 1,000 full moons. 1,000, if you get the calculations, right? 1,000 full moons, if you have seen, according to astrology, what they call it as, you will be honored as though you have reached 100 years. That's their calculations. 1,000 full moons you have seen by then, right? And once that happens, right, most of the people finished by then, right? And they will say that, I am so old now, I can't do anything, finished in that way. And even how old you are also, you can't remember. If that also doesn't say, right? So, the age is like that. The impact of the age on the body, I'm saying. You start winding up everything, saying there's nothing I can do about this world. I come here and I spend about 8 years here doing different things. It's not getting anywhere. Somebody told me I have to take initiation, I took initiation. Somebody told me I have to chant, I chanted. Somebody told me I have to do deity worship, I did that. and I read Bhagavatam. Now what? This kind of questions will come inside. Yeah. So, we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadayal Prabhu ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.